welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, big old bright dog.
Oh, let's see what to get to. Well, first I have to talk about I don't even want to get to this. It's about how retarded my dad is. Oh. I'll get to it. I'll just wait. I'll wait.
Because I have a question.
I'll wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were
hello?
You in Vegas this weekend?
Yeah. That was the second thing I was going to get to.
That you didn't want to get to.
No, that I was about to get to, which is Danny. My dad's thing is too good. It's too golden.
Right.
It's,
that's
such
wait
a gem.
Right.
I'm waiting for prime time. Okay. Danny was at the Playboy?
Palms. I was at they're doing the Playboy Comedy Festival there, and I was the host, and next week I think I'm the headliner.
I was at Jimmy's birthday party, which was at the Hardwood Suite. No, the NBA Suite.
In the NBA Suite.
Is that what it's called?
I believe that it's called
a basketball suite.
But it might
suite.
Be called the what are their name? The name of their team? The Sharks or the
the Kings?
The Kings are the Moves team. So it might be the King Suite.
Makes sense, but I
think it's called the Hardwood, though. I think you're right. And the room is like $20,000 a night or whatever craziness it is.
Wow.
But the beds, so you have a full court, are Murphy beds.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the beds out of the wall so you can have a full court game.
I was oh, no, I don't think you can get a full court game going in there. But you can get a half court game.
I've never actually been inside. I'm going by Entertainment Tonight.
I was probably 30 feet above where Danny was playing on Saturday.
Right.
You played the Playboy Club.
Right.
That's directly beneath this thing.
Is that what
I
it is?
Think.
I've never been up there.
I found out Sunday when I walked. It's weird. You know you're a great country when you can walk indoors and get tired and then get PO'd? Like, I left the elevators. Okay, couple things, thousand things. First off, is there anything better than the breakfast the night after drinking and smoking and hanging out? Is there anything better than that hangover breakfast where you get the greasy hash browns and they start running in with egg yolks and you throw that onto the toast and you get some Canadian bacon? Is there anything better than the I'm hungover, I have a flight to catch, but I have plenty of time to catch a big old greasy, way too big a portion, Vegas-style breakfast the following morning after a night of debauchery?
I'm going to pretend I can remember that far back and say, no, Adam, there is nothing better than that moment.
That hungover breakfast.
I think it was... 27 years ago was the last time I had a hungover breakfast. If I'm keeping clock on my AA sheet correct, must have been at least 27 years. I don't think. There's nothing better than that breakfast.
The breakfast, it's weird because it's like you did damage to yourself with drugs and booze the night before, but now you're going to kill yourself with food.
Yeah.
It's just that greasy, like, I don't know what it is. Like, my body, like, I've injured my body and I have to repair it with bacon. I've sprung a leak.
Sure.
I have to wrap it with bacon and hash browns and tons of coffee. So that was yesterday morning. Now, the NBA suite or the Hardwood suite where Jimmy's 40th birthday was is at the Palms, and it was right above the Playboy Club that Danny played on Saturday. I have this critique. I have a couple critiques
of
about
my
Vegas.
Or
no.
About Vegas.
No, no.
No, you wouldn't Vegas. Have you wouldn't have a critique about my act, would you, Adam?
No.
I'm sure you were there both shows.
I didn't even
right
know
front
it until
screaming,
I got
that's my dog. That's
into
what he's
the
doing.
Bomb.
I actually had to ask him, please, Mr. Carolla, and then I didn't want to out him or anything, so I said, please, sir, you've had enough to drink. Could you just be, you've been here every show rooting me on, and I appreciate it, sir. So, thank you very much for coming.
He drunkenly insisted they let him in and throw some other guy out.
But if you could just be quiet there just for a minute, because he was so there and so supportive. And before, I know this is your story, but I just got to tell you one thing that, I'm going to refrain from hating you for the rest of my life over. Don't mind that. Busy man. It's Kimmel's birthday. I'm cool with that.
Right.
But here's what I hear. Hey, Carolla's in the hotel. Guess who I hear it from? I hear it from Amy, who I am fairly confident is a tad smitten with Mr. Carolla. She's part of my act. She has this little bit in my act to get things rolling. Guess who wasn't there?
Where was she?
I don't know. Where were you?
I don't know. I didn't see her. No, I didn't see her.
Look right here.
No, I would have known. I would have known.
Of course, you would have known. She has red hair and dark roots. You'd have been looking down and just said, "Oh, I didn't recognize you."
I didn't know the bitch. Playboy. I didn't know the Playboy Club and the Hardwood Club were in the same, or the Hardwood whatever were suite. In the same no. suite. I'm a. Trying to think. I have super hyper vigilance for some things, and I'm a tuner outer of other things. I will give
guess
you
which one of those I might be.
What?
I'm a tuner outer of Danny. No, I went to. Here's the thing. I went to go see Dada on Friday night at a club that was on Ivar. Right. And I said to my assistant Jay, who was born and bred in the Chicago area and who's been out here for about 18 months, you know where Ivar is? I know it's in Hollywood, but you know where it is? And he's like, yeah, I think it's one north of Cahuenga. And I'm like, thank you. And then I realized I've been out here my entire life. I'll give you this, and you guys tell me if you're this way or not. I grew up on Houston Street in North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I know the one street that ran perpendicular to our street.
What's it?
I don't know. No, Small Street. The one Small Street that ran next to our street. I don't know the next Small Street. And I don't know the next Small Street in the other direction, even though I've walked past it, rode my bike past it, now drove my car past it, and eventually will drive my Lark or whatever scooter I use to transport myself.
Rascal.
My Rascal, right. So I can go shopping.
With his Wabbit.
The thing with the four small wheels and the huge basket. By the way, when the basket gets bigger than the wheels, that's trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all right to have a Harley and have a little side basket or whatever. That's fine. But when you get the little basket, the little wheels, the little shopping cart wheels, and then the huge basket to carry the groceries in, that's a bad sign. I don't know the name of the small streets that surround the house that I grew up in and have been to 10,000 times. Now, I know the names. If you said Ben or Radford or Cartwright, I would go, I know those are all street names that are around somewhere in my vicinity, but I would not know the next street over.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's partly something normal about that and partly something abnormal about that. Do you know Teresa's address?
No.
Neither do I. I consider her one of my best friends. I could never write her a letter. I could get to her house, drive right to it, knock on the door, say, hey, what's up, guy? Hey, Batman, what are you doing?
Oh.
I hadn't scheduled you in.
I can definitely, if I went somewhere once, I would know how to get there again, but I wouldn't know by address. The street name, right. And I wouldn't know the address. But do you guys know the streets right around where you live or lived? I don't know my streets now. I don't know. I mean, you know the street you grew up on.
Right.
And you know
that's your porn name.
You know the busy, yeah. Right. You know the busy streets, sure. The big streets, yeah. That are around. And I happen to know the small street that runs right by me, running perpendicular to the street I grew up on. And then after that, I don't know any of the street names. And I walked everywhere in North Hollywood when I was a kid. I walked to school. It was my only form of transportation were my legs. And I had friends that were scattered. If you took a map of North Hollywood and put blue dots on it, they were on every single street and small street around me. Never knew the difference between Lameda and Clump, which is a horrible named street. If I lived on it, I knew where it was. If I didn't, I didn't know where it was. Is everyone that stupid or out of it or whatever?
I don't know about everyone. I lived at San Feliciano Drive and Mulholland. So you couldn't miss Mulholland because it stopped. There was a mountain there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from the time I was 4 till the time I was like 13. And it was a one-mile ride on my bicycle to Woodland Hills Elementary School. And there is Dumet Street and about 25 others.
And
I know Dumet's, and I know Dumet's because they used to let me buy cigarettes there.
And you drove past all the other streets.
Every day of my life.
So I'm not the only one who's this way.
At least not in this room.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just recently moved out of the ghetto and in with Batman, and I had to call him.
Aren't you still in the ghetto?
I know. Not really. Close-ish. I had to call him to find out what our cross street was.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Baby, where
and
do we
growing
live?
Up, don't know the...
You know, I could tell you the name of the streets around, but I could never tell you what order they're in.
Yeah, that was my thing. All right, good. I'm not nuts.
No. You just don't have that particular nut capacity.
Right.
Don't
or
let
maybe
yourself
that's
off
it.
The hook, bro.
Maybe that's
it. I gotta get back to this drinking and drugging over the weekend.
I don't know what he's talking
about.
Was
there the Kush?
There was the Kush in bakery form and in weed form. And I will say this, too, about... we had a great time, and the suite was great, and everything was great. But here's one thing all big suites need, and I mean big. This is a big two-story, has a basketball.
10,000 square feet.
It is? All right. 10,000 square feet, bigger than most houses. All right, the point is
this. How many square feet?
According to the New York Times, 10,000 square foot hardwood suite in the Palms.
My house that I'm selling is 7,200 square feet, and it's almost $5 million bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of room. Know what it needed though? I'll tell you what it's missing.
Cheerleaders?
No, had cheerleaders.
Kitchen?
I'm digging you.
Had everything. No, simple. Balcony. Needed a place for people to smoke and or toke out.
Nope.
They don't have it there. I'm sure there are reasons why they don't have it there. But what ends up happening when you throw a party, especially in Vegas, people get drunk. And people who never smoked a day in their life smoke like chimneys in Vegas.
Yeah, and in Paris.
There's something, yeah, it's an enabling. That's what you should say. Forget about what leaves in Vegas, stays in Vegas or whatever.
Just smoke.
It's just we should call Vegas. We're enablers. People that don't drink that much drink like fish. People that don't smoke that much smoke like chimneys in Vegas. So, fair amount of people toking out over there, but even more people smoking cigarettes because they're in Rome, essentially. Needed that spot where people went to go smoke out and or toke out that was not in the general populace because smoking is so weird now. And there was a lot of authority figures around, you know, lots of parents, lots of old friends from the neighborhood, lots of parents of the old friends from the neighborhood. Very old school. You know, you don't want to be toking out, smoking out, and doing everything in front of them. So, the only thing it was missing, the only thing I can say about that suite is it's missing a balcony or some area of that nature.
It is missing because it had one.
It had one?
Yep.
Huh.
What happened?
Guess who was looking up at his fancy work when the basketball came out the open sliding glass door on the balcony and bounced off George Move's face?
Really?
Yep. No. They said, hey, I think a window in the NBA room might be stupid.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. So they did have one because...
According to George, like I said, I've never been in this, but George is like one of my best friends, so I know whatever he tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell. If you want, we should book him as a guest because he's so funny because he's a billionaire who owns probably one of the, not seediest, it's the classiest, but I mean, if you want to go get some just wild girls and wild stuff and five of the wildest bars in one casino, you go to this guy and he talks like this. Maloof, we got him on the phone. He's the baddest. He owns this. He does that. He's got six Lamborghinis. How are you, buddy? Good.
Yeah, I know. I've spoken to him before.
Makes me laugh every time. And he doesn't get mad about it. You make fun of him for it. He doesn't get mad.
Did you say there were cheerleaders that came with this suite?
They do come with the suite.
How many?
I think there's about five, and then there was like a referee chick, too. I don't like the tramp stamp on the cheerleaders. Like the whole tattoo thing has gone a little too far, and I don't mind the tattoo thing, but the tattoo thing's a little rough when the chick who's supposed to be a cheerleader just got pulled off a pole and has the tramp stamp and everything. It also ruins it for period porn for me. Oh, Cleopatra, you've graced us with, and the chick's got a big old piercing downstairs and a big old tramp stamp in the back and her boyfriend's name, Ted, is on her neck, and it's kind of like, huh?
Anachronistic.
You're proud of me. Because, and I hope she's still asleep, and I don't mean this anything in a bad way, but I met Amy the day Gretchen asked for a divorce because I don't like to be alone, and I have not spent the night alone since I've been with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I met her, went home with her, and we've never been apart. So I went and I got Amy because I got like 27 name tattoos on me. I don't care. They have a tattoo parlor at the Palms, and she was going to go get Danny tattooed on her arm, and I stopped her.
Why?
Because what a mean thing to do to a girl if something's going to go wrong, and I'm not positive something's not going to go wrong yet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what a Danny thing to do. Yeah, get property of Danny.
That's a...
You know, that's my total, that's my M.O. And I actually stopped her. I said, don't do that. If we ever get married, get it on our wedding day if you really want one of those.
Interesting question, because you always think about someone getting a tattoo of somebody else, getting their name, and you think, oh, don't go through with it or do go through with it. But if someone wanted to get my name tattooed on them, I don't think I'd want them to do it.
Well,
I
didn't really
want
to do.
I wouldn't want that responsibility. I never thought about it from the other person's side. Look, if you've been married for 5 years and you had your first kid and now they're going to do it, it's one thing. But boyfriend and girlfriend, I don't know if I'd want that responsibility. Danny has...
Amy and my kids, Jane, Dana, Sue...
Well, your kids, Candy. Kids maybe.
You know what I like? My favorite one, though, of all the mistakes, because, like, Jane, I don't even know who she is. I was told she was a waitress. See these numbers right here? This is my favorite tattoo. 5305, that's my sobriety date.
Right.
It's totally wrong. I drank like a month later, so it's just random numbers. Now it's just like a phone number. It doesn't mean anything to me except another lock of failure.
I have a quick suggestion to all. First off, I could do 3 hours on McCarran Airport and the security line over there, which is unbelievable. But play something, Brian. Yes, I could. There's one thing I could suggest to the Maloof brothers, but anybody who runs a Vegas hotel. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I am a mouth breather. I can't breathe through my nose very well. I sleep with my mouth open. It is always so dry in Vegas inside the hotel room, and it's dry outside the hotel room. It's Las Vegas, and I always do a ton of drinking when I'm in Vegas and go to bed way too late. I get the crazy cotton mouth every time I go to Vegas, right. And I do in a lot of hotel rooms in general just because they're a closed environment. The air gets recirculated. You can't crack a window. There's no humidity inside of the rooms. The nicest hotels in the world have the same problem. It's just the nicest hotels in the world oftentimes are not in the middle of the desert.
And oftentimes don't convince you that there might be a reason to jump, so lock all the windows.
Las Vegas is right in the middle of the desert. It gets crazy dry, and it's like dry-on-dry crime because then they seal off the rooms, and then they recirculate the air, and then I do the booze in the night before, and I always get crazy, nutty cotton mouth whenever I go to Vegas, and I don't know what the solution is. I need a humidifier. I don't want to... bring it with me. I don't know if you can get one from room service. I bet maybe you could, because it is an issue, especially Vegas. I get crazy cotton mouth every time I go to Vegas. Somebody saw Danny's show and enjoyed the bejesus out of it, but hold on a second,
Jared. The second show is even better than the first. The second show, because I'm trying to make that my place.
Right.
The second show had to be halted so we could add 50 more chairs and just pack them in.
How many does that seat?
It only seats 200, and the second show sat 250.
Hold on 1 second, Jared from San Diego.
Thank you, Jared, by the way.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. Could be that guy from Orange County screaming, "You suck," though, posing as Jared from San Diego.
You know what?
He would.
No. Hang on, Jared, because we have some other Danny business to get to. Update involving Danny and his snake bathtub record. We'll do that, and we'll hear from Jared next.
Eat fresh! It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Direct from the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Gotta get it on, peeps! Today, for Arrested Development, Jason Bateman. Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison. This Week in Rage, Music Monday, and Chris Elliott. Is that Chris Elliott the porn star? Or Chris Elliott the bald, overweight, bearded comedian from Cabin Boy? God damn it! When will the Great Coot Strike be resolved? Hell no! No more bros! Hell no! We want hoes!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Danny and I were both in Las Vegas this weekend. I don't know when you came back, Danny. Did you have to deal with McCarran Airport?
Yeah, but I did something not smart. I just had to. I had the Love Ride 80 miles from my home at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I took the 6:50 a.m. flight after playing all night and got home to L.A. at 7:50 and rode straight to Pomona Fairplex on my Harley.
I made the horrible mistake of leaving Las Vegas about noon yesterday. And as I stood, and I say it every time, but if you go to the C and D concourse and you try to go through that screening, the security screening that goes to Southwest, there was a throng of people. Like when the folks make it all the way past the thing and back to like the NASCAR cafe, you know there's 5,000 people waiting in a security line. Like, not, I mean, this is Disneyland type security line. Like, they should give you a pager, right, and you should go have a steak somewhere, and then they should page you in an hour and 15 minutes. And as I was looking around at the sea of humanity, I just turned to my wife and I said, the terrorists have won. I said, every single one of these people's taken their shoes off. The terrorists have won.
Question for you.
Yeah.
When somebody recognizes you from the Man Show or whatever they recognize you from, as you make your one of the hundreds of zigzags through, by the time you're two lines in, every single person in that line knows Adam Carolla from the Man Show is here, right?
I would assume if they, yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
you pass everybody a thousand times.
So as soon as somebody recognizes you, they pass it up and down the line, and then I'm sure they want pictures of the Corolla with their camera phones they don't know how to use.
Yeah.
It's a long line.
You know what's weird about airport security lines? People get weird before the line and after the line, but in the line, they don't want to take pictures or talk or something. It's considered some sort of hallowed ground where everyone has to have their game face on, and there's no grab ass. As soon as they get past it, they have a drink at the bar, and it's game on again. And before it, it's game on. In the security, whatever, it's some sort of weird, serious mode that everyone goes into. My point is McCarran, this has been happening for 8 to 10 years. It's getting worse. What are we going to do? Somebody's got to do something. I mean, someone needs to make a move. Some plan. Suggestion?
Yeah, your bullet train.
Well, obviously, my bullet train would be nice. Hey, look, there's certain problems I have a solution for, and others where I just say, look, fellas, you see which way the wind is blowing. The lines are getting longer and longer and longer, and it's taking longer to get. It's not worth flying back from Vegas anymore. It's worth flying to Vegas because that's an easy one. You can leave out of Burbank or even LAX. It's not worth flying back from Vegas anymore. Hey, experts, let's hop to it.
No, you're absolutely right. It takes because Gretchen is afraid to fly, and I think that's the stupidest thing in the whole wide world. So I will often, if we have to go there together, I just refuse. I'm not riding in the car. I'm just not doing it just because you're paranoid. But on the way back from Vegas, she beats me.
Yeah.
Now she gets, if we leave around the same time, she beats me home.
Yeah.
In the car.
Absolutely. Hey, Jared.
Morning, guys.
What's
morning,
happening, Jared?
Pardon me?
What's going on?
Not much. Miss you guys in Vegas, Adam. I wouldn't go see Danny. Come on. Like you wouldn't go see
him. Oh, Jared.
How'd you know, Adam?
Damn you.
Eat fresh.
I really thought it was a fan.
Well, he was from San Diego, so I didn't know. Hold on a second. How dare you, Teresa?
Eat fresh.
It says saw Danny this weekend. It was great. That's why I punched him up.
How'd you know that he was going to be the guy that hates Danny?
I didn't. I was screwing around.
who says, what does your boyfriend do? Work in a batting cage?
That's what I'm saying. It was a batting cage moment.
I've got to say, I've been at parties where there were gifts all over the place, and the person picks up the box and says, ooh, I wonder what this could be. And I go, oh, another toaster oven. And then the person that bought it looks at me and goes, thanks a lot, dick. And I go, what? And they go, it's a toaster oven. And I go, I didn't know. I was making a joke.
Sometimes it's fun when the callers yell at Danny.
I'm not necessarily done with Jared at all.
Sometimes it's fun.
And then I yell funny without making fun of someone else.
I yell at the person who yelled at me about the toaster oven because they could have laughed it off.
Yeah. I was commenting in amazement that you somehow knew that the guy wasn't really a fan.
Hey, Jared.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
I was at the Tahiti Village party.
Oh, my God.
With the girl from Charlie's Angels.
All right.
Jared, is that all you got?
Day, guys.
All right. No, that's all Jared brought.
That's it?
And that's all Jared brought to the table. He called about
me. I thought he'd have something chambered.
Yeah, I know. He was on hold for 8 minutes.
If he was there at all, and not to blow my own horn, which I wish I could do, it'd be kind of tough because I just emceed for some really good comics, and we had to add 50 seats for the last show, so it all went super well. So, I mean, he'd call up and say he didn't like my hair, but the show was smoking. Well, the show was a good show.
Let's say this. I would like to get back to that point, which is...
Eat fresh!
I'm trying to try to get this point across to my kids, although I'm sure I'll get no traction. But Danny did something which is very smart, which I've always been saying everyone should do, which is free samples. I, as you all know, I got into show business two ways. One is I became a boxing trainer. And when I went out to become a boxing trainer, the guy who owned the chain of gyms said, I have all the boxing trainers I need. I've never heard of you. Thus, you'll not be working here as a boxing trainer. And I said, I will work on your gym essentially for free, using my tools, doing the home improvement stuff, and then you give me a chance to be a boxing trainer. I'll give it to you free. And he said, fine.
Yep.
Because he needed crap done around the gym. He was cheap, and I was good, and I was practically free. So I got to be a boxing trainer. And then once I got to be a boxing trainer, I said to Jimmy Kimmel, I will train you, and I will train you for free. And I trained him for free. And then once I trained him for free, and he said, how'd you like to try to do something on our morning radio show? I said, I will do it, and I will do it for free. And I did it for free. And at a certain point, they like what they heard, right. And then I started getting paid. A lot of my Nimrod buddies from the Valley, when I was doing it for free, the comedy, that is, right. Doing the morning radio for a good 6 months to a year for free, said, you're an idiot. They're taking advantage of you. They should be paying you. I said, well, what are they going to pay me? Because I know what they pay those guys, $50 a bit, $75 a bit. What difference does that really make? A couple of bucks here and there, no big difference. But if this thing works out, I could be in for a payday. So I'm not going to screw it up over a couple bucks one way or the other. I'm going to give them the product. I'm going to deliver the product. I'm going to get them hooked on the product. And then I will rape them. Nay, their wallet. I will dry hump their wallet. I will take their checkbook out, and I will dry hump it. Danny did not want to go to the East Coast every weekend and do his comedy, so he got hold of one of his Maloof brother friends, and he said, how about I do it for free? How about I come out and we see how it goes?
I said, I'll do it twice, and then I would like you to compare your books to the last few shows leading up to my second show, and if it comes out that it is lucrative to have me there, then I don't have to travel to the East Coast. I will fly up to Vegas and take a car home.
Right.
And according, if next week's show or December 8th show goes as well as this one, I have found a home twice a month at the Palms owned by one of my best friends. It couldn't work out better, and free samples is what did it.
Delayed,
I packed his house for no money.
Delayed gratification. Give it away. Anybody, if you're confident in your product, if you're confident in your ability, if you have confidence in what you have to offer, but people say, I'm not interested in seeing what you have to offer. Offer it for free. I don't care what your business is. I guarantee if you had a car detailing business and somebody didn't want to swap from the guy they're using to you or whoever,
right.
And you said, I'll come to your house and I will detail the bejesus out of your car one Saturday afternoon, and you did a kick-ass job, you would be that person's
absolutely.
Whatever for the rest. Same with cleaning the guy's pool. Same with anything. Now, I'm not saying perhaps even prostitution.
I was thinking when he said, if you faith your product, give it away. I was thinking chicks.
Now, yeah. if you think you're good at what you do, the opportunity is the chance. It's not the money you make from the first exchange you have with somebody. It's all the money you're going to make from all the subsequent exchanges and the money. Whatever Danny does for free for a couple of weeks will pale in comparison to the years of him making tons and tons of money and traveling a very short distance
right.
to get it.
I'm in Zany's this Friday and Saturday in Chicago. I will make enough money for 3 months' mortgage on four shows.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't want to go. I love Chicago. It's a bad example because it's one of my favorite towns. But it's wear and tear like you cannot believe.
Right.
And if the radio station is going to be kind enough to let me do it, imagine how hard they're going to work me on the weekend that they have me here. I'm going to be at the fairgrounds and then at Disneyland and then out at the country fair. So I didn't want to take the wear and tear. And I took Adam's advice. I really did take the boxing gym advice. I said, show them what you got on the house. Everybody's going to say yes. And he did.
We need, plus, people love the kind of confidence that comes with, let me show you what I got and shut your checkbook. All right, couple things before we go to break. Danny climbing into the bathtub filled with vipers has had the kibosh put on it by the legal department. Yes, I know. Sad but true.
Wait. Unless there's someone who needs to go where right now. Can I just say something?
We've got about a minute.
Oh, no, I just meant if you had a point you had to make right now. Okay. They can eat me. We'll just videotape it at my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to listen to them.
Mm. I suppose if we're doing it on their air during their hours.
But if we're not, we'll do it on our hours in my house and then put it online or something. I just don't like being told what to do by a guy in a suit because I want to get into a bathtub full of snakes that can kill me. And instead, a shark screws me.
I'm in.
Interesting. I would go more with monkey than shark. But
go to your roof?
Look at it as them. Look at it as not them telling you what to do, them telling you what not to do. Which it maybe is not quite as bad, but it's the same sort.
It is.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Lawyers telling you what not to do, which is in a kind of way of telling you what to do, just in a
so
more
that's
passive
that
way.
For the snakes, no off campus.
Well, we can look into the
off. To grow
we
on
can
this.
We can look into the off campus version of this, but I wouldn't. Rightfully so frowned upon by the CBS legal department. All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
How can CBS call me a life coach and then save mine?
It's interesting. I think they could, though.
I know, that didn't really make sense.
No.
That Jared guy should call back.
866-901-ADAM. When we come back, I'm going to tell you something that happened with my pops on Friday. I need your input. I have a decision to make. I don't know.
Oh, great.
He came over to see the kids on Friday.
He's a good man, my father is, but he oftentimes knows not what he does. This one also includes my stepmom, too, which is weird because she's like some kind of sane herder. She's like a sane Sherpa on my dad's crazy ascent to the top of Kilimanjaro. She's you know, my stepmother is sort of... All the people in my family that are step whatever are from the normal world. Right. My family's kind of a bust, but my step-grandfather, he cooked, for instance, because he thought it was a good idea for the kids to eat meals that were made at home or just meals in general. He did lots of put on a sweater, take a lunch. Everyone else in my family was out to lunch. My stepmother sort of saying, and she's the one I can tell keeps my dad in check. Now, my dad's not nuts. He's just out of it.
Hell
and
yeah.
What'll happen is it'll be like Christmas, and my stepmom will bring a couple of gifts for the kids. And I know my dad has my dad doesn't know you're supposed to buy gifts. He wouldn't buy gifts. He wouldn't get cards. You know, I know this is all my stepmother's doing. And right. Oftentimes, it is the job of the woman to kind of keep the guy in the straight and narrow. But my dad would go way out of bounds without her. But she was involved in this one, too.
I got to
look it. And I need your help because I need to make a decision on this.
Okay.
866-901-ADAM. I'll give you my dilemma next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hello, Adam. This is Ruben from Vegas. Want to say, hey, what's up? And what's up to Danny, Team Bonaducci, and Teresa Strauss. We love you guys, and keep up the good work. Peace.
Hello! Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strausser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Good times. James, it's my dad's name. He's from Fresno. He's a psychologist. He's on the line.
Ooh.
Says here to help.
Should we have him standing by?
I might. Hey, James.
Yes, sir.
I may need you, brother. Are you a psychiatrist, psychologist?
Yeah. Can I hear some of your troubles?
Wait a minute.
First, you might want to answer.
I have the three of you diagnosed already, but I don't know
why.
Where'd you go to college?
University of London at Northfield.
Never heard of that.
Well, you've never heard of the University of London?
What's your training in?
Behavioral psychology, clinical psychology, forensic psychology.
And what do you? What field are you working in now?
Department of Corrections.
How old are you?
40.
All right.
And what did, let's see, what was the last name of Carl Jung's book?
You guys are crazy.
Huh? I'm pretty sure that was what it was called, yeah, actually. Mm-hmm. You guys are crazy, I'm Carl Jung.
Hey, James?
Yes?
I'm going to put you on hold while I think about
okay.
you.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, all right. Not the kind of guy you want.
No.
A jovial psychologist?
Advice. It sounds too young, too junior college-y.
Oh, great.
All right, well, let me tell you my situation.
Please.
Predicament. I spoke about it a couple of months ago, which is... I lease my dad a car each and every year. A fairly expensive luxury-type automobile. This year didn't get off to a great start, this leasing luxury year didn't get off to a great start because it was about 3 years ago in a few months. Now, this is a 3-year lease, and we're past the 3-year lease, and I've been paying for it month to month. By the way, if there's anything you don't want to pay for it month to month. It really makes you, you know, is that one thing where you join the gym and they take your credit card and they take $38 out every month and you never go to the gym, but it's no big deal because they just take it out of your credit card and you don't think about it.
Right.
If you had to go to that gym and pay in 20s every month, it would bother the bejesus out of you. It's that kind of thing. I'm now paying for my dad's lease every month because I've extended it past the 3 years. So I'm kind of thinking about it. It's on my mind a little bit. But when he got the car... He, about 3.5 years ago, I was working on my house. I had had two sort of weird surgeries, not horrible surgeries, just two procedures done in about a 2-week period. I didn't plan it that way. It just happened that way. And I was in the middle of this huge renovation of this huge old house, and I was working 2 or 3 jobs, and I was going out of my mind a little bit. And my dad wanted to know where his new car was. Not in a demanding way, but he was like, hey, the old lease is up. What's going on? And I remember telling him, I had these surgeries, and I'm not feeling well, and I'm going out of my gourd here, and I'm really feeling, you know, overwhelmed trying to work on this house, and maybe I bit off more than I could chew. And he said, this was like a Saturday. He said, relax. Call Bo Bachman over there at Galpin Ford on Monday and take care of it. And he hung up the phone, and I thought, hey, you don't want to offer bringing over a sandwich or a six-pack
right.
or something.
Yeah, you've just said you're overwhelmed.
I told him I was overwhelmed. He lives down the street. My dad is... People in my family are smart enough to... It's actually an interesting way to go through life. You announce to the world that you're useless. You announce to the world that you have no viable skills and that you can't help. And it's like, here's the deal. If you want to ride a moped your entire life, no one will ever ask you for a lift to the airport
right.
or ask to borrow your truck so they can move or ask for a hand. If you ride a moped your whole life and complain of back pain, you're off the hook.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, you have the kind of life where you have to ride a moped everywhere and hold your back when you're around mixed company. But that's kind of my dad's, that's his angle. I don't have any money, and I got a bad back, and I got a moped that my son's leasing me. Thus, you're not going to get any help from me. I don't do anything. I would love to come over, son, and help you work on your house.
Right.
I don't do that. I don't do anything.
I see where this is going, and it's going to be a very interesting quandary.
Right. So... We got off to, I remember at the time thinking, well, thanks a lot, Dad. I told you I was sort of going through some stuff here. And my dad's never mean. He's never rude. He never has a huge sense of entitlement or anything. He would be the kind of guy who would say, wow, that's tough what you're going through. You should really try to take it easy. You've had these medical procedures. The house can wait till Monday. Now, take a deep breath. And call Bo Bachman. Give me my car, and I'll call you on Monday. That's what my dad would do. But even though he physically lived two or three miles from where I was, and it was a Saturday, he would never, ever go, I'm going to get some sandwiches
right.
and a six-pack. I'm coming up there. We'll talk. Yeah, which is what most people would do because we just talked about basic business. Danny went and gave away a couple of freebies to the Maloof brothers so down the road he could make a paycheck. It's not a freebie. It's a temporary right. freebie, and then I'll be getting a paycheck. No one in my family really understands that kind of business, which is you're trying to get a free car from your son. Go pick up a couple of Chicagoan dogs over there at the Wiener Factory and a six-pack and bring it up to his house. That's going to cost you $9. You're going to get a free car for the rest of your life.
Right.
They don't have that way of looking at things. But that's where we got started. I was fine, but I wasn't that happy about this particular luxury car lease, considering when it took place. Well, now the lease is up. The lease is up 4 or 5 months ago, and I told you guys when it was up, and I told you that about 2 months ago, he showed up along with my stepmother to say hi to us and say hi to the grandkids. And we had a lovely time, but I noticed he was not driving the Jaguar right. that I lease him. He was driving the CRV, which I have to be careful about calling a pile of crap because that's Teresa's car.
I love it.
And she doesn't know it. She
the
still
best
thinks
car
it's,
I've ever had.
Right. It's the yeah. best. It's if you're poor, it's a great car to get. Look, it's a front-wheel drive four-banger.
Thank you.
It is probably one of the cheapest SUVs on the market this side of the Suzuki Samurai. It's a lightweight. Look, works perfectly if you're a college student or work for TMZ and have horrible self-esteem or whatever.
Yeah, whatever
it is. Whatever the case may be. It's a... my stepmother has one. It's probably an 01 or an 02. Hell, maybe it's a 99. It probably has 110, 120,000 miles on it. It's literally worth $6,400. My dad's car, he is under the mileage on his lease. He has 36,000 miles on his lease. He has like 27,000 miles on the car, and the lease is up. I keep extending the lease, thus he's getting an extra 1,000 miles a month. He probably is up to 42,000 right. miles, but he hasn't cracked 30,000 miles on his car. So I said to my stepmother and my dad 2 months ago when they came to my house driving the pile of crap CRV with the cloth interior, I said, did you guys buy that car? And they said, yeah, we own the CRV.
Sure.
I said, well, why wouldn't you drive the car that I'm leasing you because you have unlimited mileage on it because I've already paid for the mileage and I've extended the lease. And it's a Jag.
Right.
It's five times better than the CRV.
I'm with you so far, 1,000%.
I'll stipulate to that. And the Jag is better.
They both looked at me and they said, oh, yeah. And I said, why put mileage? Why are you putting mileage on the car you own? You know, every 10 miles you put on the car, it's worth $20 less or however the, right. whatever the math is. Right. That's coming out of your wallet. This has already been bought and paid for by me. You should be driving in a circle around your block all night long. You should put the car in a tether and right. put a brick on the accelerator and let it go in a circle on your goddamn lawn so you can make up the mileage that I have already paid for and continue to pay for by extending this lease. Plus, on a psychological, just purely on a psychological level, you are in negotiations with me to get a new luxury car lease. Why not drive said luxury car to said son's house when you come to the guy's house?
Why didn't he? Did you ask him?
Now, keep in mind.
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
My dad, my dad comes over to my house 5-6 times a year, and three of the times he's driving my stepmother's crappy Honda. And I've said to people, look, when somebody buys you a $30 sweater for Christmas, you put it on when you go to their house right. for Thanksgiving so they can see where their money is gone.
Right.
This is $42,000 worth of automobile that my dad does not drive when he comes to my house, or he does. It's just very part-time. Which is a weird thing because how many people drive their spouse's automobiles, especially when their spouse has a far inferior automobile. I understand if your spouse is driving my car. Right. I understand my stepmother saying to my dad, hey, let me take the Jag. You're not going anywhere. I love the air conditioning. I'm going down the hill. Right. Why are you driving the crappier car and why are you driving it to my house? So.
Yeah. Here's the part I'm interested in. The so part.
I gave them the speech. And again, my stepmother is the keeper of the sane.
Right.
She's the one that is normal. She's the sane herder. She's the one who will say to my dad, hey, 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 no, we have to get a gift or we should send a card or this isn't appropriate or what have you. So I gave her the conversation to, and my dad I had the speech with. And then they came over on Friday.
Yeah. Guessing there was
on Friday. And I thought to myself, because this is how I am, I thought, I wonder what car Pops will be driving. And then I thought, oh, no. No. You know why? You see, he drives her car half the time, but she was in the room when I gave the sane speech
right. yeah.
about putting bunches of mileage on the car you own versus the one you're going to give back.
Right. The sane herder heard this.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what car they were driving and who was driving it. But first, we have to take a break. We're running. We're running late. We're running. You guys can probably do the math.
Yeah.
I still need your help on what I should do, and I think you know where this is going.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. You guys help me solve my dilemma, and we'll do that next.
Coming up this morning, we'll count down the top five things that made Adam angry last week on Last Week in Rage.
Let me say this. Everyone buckle up for a quick Jag.
You can vote now at AdamCarolla.com. It's another Music Monday. This time we'll play the songs that have overused medical terms like drugs, doctors, sickness. The best and the worst coming your way on Music Monday. Comedian Chris Elliott, Oakland Raiders Kirk Morrison, the news with Teresa Strasser, and Danny tells stories about Danny.
That is the greatest story I've ever heard.
This morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times. All right. 866-901-ADAM. I need your help on this one. T, Danny, I respect your opinions as well. So as I said, I've been leasing my dad a car.
Hell yeah.
The lease is up. He doesn't drive it very often, even though it's way behind. And he especially doesn't drive it to my house. So last time he showed up, I gave him and my stepmom the speech between the car I pay for, which is very nice, and the one you guys pay for. And the one I pay for is already paid for in advance. I know because I paid for it. Why not drive it? My dad was a little confused on the lease being extended and that kind of thing. But I extended the lease, and it has even more mileage now, and I pay for it month to month now. So why not drive the car? So I was standing up in my office. And they came calling on Friday afternoon, and I said, now I thought about it. This is really how my life works. I thought, are they going to be driving
right.
my stepmom's piece of crap Honda CRV? And then I thought, no, impossible. A, because why would you drive the crappy car over the nice car? But B, I gave them both a nice talking right. to. I didn't yell at him. I just said, look, one car you're paying for the mileage. The other car's already been paid for, so why not drive the nice one?
Hey, if they weren't your family and you weren't my friend, I would at this point out it's kind of rude.
It is a little rude.
It is. It's slightly ungrateful.
Now here's the thing about my family, but especially my dad. Not an ounce of ill will or bad blood.
Absolutely.
Right.
But on the other hand, he's a big boy. He can do this math. People let a lot of people off the hook by saying, oh, he didn't mean it. He didn't know what he was doing. All right. But at a certain point in life, you've lived in society long enough, maybe you should know what you're doing.
If you make enough mistakes, you can actually become a life coach. That's what worked for me.
Are you wondering now whether to sustain this lease or to just cut him off?
Well, yes, because when I looked out the window, I saw the hunter green hood of the Honda CRV coming up the driveway, and then I saw my dad behind the wheel. Now, first, when I saw the car, I thought, well, my stepmom may have picked him up from work or done something. There may be some do not rush to judgment. There may be some story here. But my dad was behind the wheel. I don't even know because my dad doesn't even like to drive. I don't know why he was driving her in her car, but either way. And they pulled up, and they came in. And I was immediately in a bad mood. But I said, I thought, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Because this is egregious. The Jag must be in the shop or something. I said, is there a problem with the Jag? Is it in the shop or something? He said, no. Why? I said, you didn't drive the Jag. And he said, as he always does, well, we just got in this car. I said, all right. That was it. So there was no, I did a little feeling around to see if there was some story that I wasn't aware of. The story is no story. Now the question really is, what do you do? Because I don't feel like another lease sends the right message.
No?
Yeah.
You mean like a cheaper lease or just continue?
I feel like no lease. Like the lease of a donkey or a pogo stick sends a dangerous message.
Right.
I have a few questions. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's meaningful to him to have the Jaguar? Do you think he really wants to have it?
He does. Well, here's the thing about my dad, and many, when I say him, I mean many people we know out there. My dad is one of these guys who puts no value on monetary anything. He's almost a yogi. He doesn't want this. Wow. He doesn't like that. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need that. On the other hand, once a year, he likes to go back home to Philadelphia to visit his brother. He needs somebody to pay for his flight back to Philadelphia. Now, he's a yogi, so he doesn't make the money himself. But on the other hand, he has to balance the yogi-like, I'm going to live on a kibbutz, with just the simple basic elements of life, and I'd like to fly first class this year.
Oh, really?
Which is the same thing that everyone does, and they're hypocrites. Because they say, I don't want to make money, I'm not about money. You guys are on that grind, I'm not about that. But hey, I want to go to Philly this year, and I'd like to go first class. So maybe you are a little bit about the money. See, people are more about it.
I had what I thought was a good theory from knowing your father. Because I've known your father a very long time. I didn't know he was your dad when he was my high school teacher.
Right.
But from speaking to him here at the station and at your home, I had a theory that maybe he felt that, and this is going to come out a little bit wrong. You have to help me with the right verbiage. A Jaguar is above his station. He doesn't deserve it.
That was my thinking, too.
No,
initially.
And let me explain why, Paul O'Brien.
No, line two says the same thing.
Let me explain why.
It's just that guy calling back.
You guys are treating this like you're dealing with a human being here.
Right.
You're using logic.
Right.
You know, people try to sort of graft logic onto my family and oftentimes my dad. They try to graft logic onto him. When they say, how could he not know what radio station you were on in L.A. for 10 years? I say, he's a nice guy. He's not into it. And they go, he's jealous.
That was pop water.
He's jealous because he wanted. And I go, no. You're reading way too much.
Yeah,
you're way too much into this. He's the world's nicest guy. He just doesn't stay up and listen to the radio.
Right.
And that's not his thing. And he's the world's nicest guy. He just doesn't like high school football. Fine. He likes to read his book. He probably wished he could have played in high school, and now he's resentful. Like, no. I don't even know if my dad knows he's driving a Jag, to be honest.
Right.
He just knows it's a nice car, and he's perfectly willing to drive the nice car. He loves the nice car. He doesn't care about the status, badges, or symbols, but when I say he doesn't care about it, I mean he doesn't care good or bad.
Right.
He does not one of these guys that needs designer's clothes. On the other hand, if you gave him designer clothes, he'd be one of the guys who wears designer clothes. He doesn't care pro and con, both poles, yin and yang. He would definitely drive the car. There's no situation or issue with driving the car.
I have an idea.
Hmm.
It seems to me that he was sort of clueless during your childhood. Not mean, not ill-intentioned. He just didn't get that it was important to show up for the football games. And that is still who he is today.
Yes.
So you can either accept that and continue to lease him the car, knowing full well that he is going to ride up in that CRV every time. Or, and this is what I'm leaning towards, you can decide that it's not that important to him, and it's kind of causing a resentment for you. So maybe it's time to not lease him the car anymore because it's bothering you, and that's going to come out toward him. When you resent somebody, you start acting kind of crappy towards them and irritated and frustrated, and he'll feel that.
There's an expression.
No, he won't, but yes.
Yeah. There's an expression.
Oh, did I apply the human logic?
Right, I did again. There's an expression that holding a resentment against someone is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Right.
That it just eats at you.
Yeah.
Good point.
He doesn't care.
You know, that he doesn't care. He is completely unaware. On the other hand,
yes.
If you were to call my mom right now and say, Danny's going to turn in that Toyota or whatever it is. I render a very nice Honda SUV, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, if you were to call my mom and say, how much of the Sixth Fleet would you bone for me to get you a Jag? She'd go, most of it. And then, you know, that's my mom. She wants a Jag.
But Pops Corolla isn't interested in necessarily the same things you are.
I agree, but... He's
well mannered.
He does want to get
wrong.
He does want to get from point A to point B.
Yeah,
and he may not be interested in driving a Jag, but he's interested in driving.
Lease him a CRV.
And he is interested in manners. He's polite. He's not doing this to hurt anybody's feelings,
no.
Which makes it a conundrum.
It does. He knows not what he does.
Right.
On the other hand, if a guy who's 44 but has the mentality of a 4-year-old stabs the neighbor kid, we still have to shackle the guy and bring him into custody.
This is not going to change. He's never going to be the caretaker.
No, he's not a caretaker. Driving the Jag that I lease him? Oh,
or
yes.
Or even close.
No, or even close. So my point is I feel like I don't want to lease him a car. On the other hand,
I support you in that.
He's old. He doesn't have any money. I have plenty. And maybe I ought to just go, who cares? On the other hand, it's not like it hasn't been discussed on multiple times. Like, hey, why aren't you driving the car?
I'd lease him a CRV. He obviously likes how it rides.
I know.
You won't resent it.
I like the donkey idea.
I will, though, because I do feel like people get to play the I didn't know what I was doing card all the time, or I was out of it card, which is fine, but you don't know what the speed limit is. You're still going 105. You'll
get
a ticket.
Right.
You don't get to say to the Mountie, I've never driven through the Maryland area before. What's your speed limit? 125? 130? No.
No, 70.
It's 70, and you're getting a ticket.
Why don't you send the repo man over with a lecture?
Being lectured by the repo man, all greasy and chains in his
hand. I have to take this Jaguar, and here's why.
It'd be funny if I mispronounced it. My dad hung up the phone. He's like, hey, Lynn, son's getting me a Lexus. Says he's sending a guy over with a Lexus. Some guy named Steve-O with a Lexus.
My first call was that he felt it was above his station, that he did not deserve a Jaguar. That got a whole shot in it.
No.
How about that people who are not overwhelmed but work hard don't understand what overwhelmed really is? When I tell my wife, listen, to pay you your money that I was so generous to give, I have to do this and this and this and this and this. And on my schedule, I don't even count this show because that's a gimme.
Right.
I start my schedule to make the $1,500 to do something after 10.
Right.
So I'll tell her I have to be 3 places in 1 day and then go to work again at 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what she does? She goes, wow, that's a drag. But the $1,500 will be here, right?
Right.
Amy, I said, just try and hang with me for 3 days. When she couldn't hang at 25 years old, when she passed out and said, I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now she calls me Iron Man and appreciates everything she gets because she knows how hard I work.
Soon she'll call him Iron Lung. Hold on, my dad is on the phone.
Yeah. That means he was listening?
And dialing.
Probably what? Tipped off by a nosy neighbor. Dad?
Dad? Yeah, I've really been, the last time, a couple times I've tuned in, you've been father bashing like hell.
All right.
You know, the thing about the car, you volunteered, that's what you wanted to do. I didn't ask you, but you did it. And as far as driving, I mean, I drive to work every day. I drive from my house to from Altadena into Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's what I use the car for that long drive.
But Mr. Corolla, why not drive to Adams in the Jaguar? It would mean a lot to him to see you driving it.
Well, that's what I'm hearing, and I don't know. I would do that. Sometimes we have the other car right in the driveway, and our car's in the garage, and we just
take that. Is it that hard, though, just to get the other car out of the garage?
Can I take it out?
Goatee.
I'm trying.
Well, am I
must add. No, that was some. I didn't know that meant so much to him that I drive.
He's telling
that
you it does.
Well, it's not the end all and be all, but Dad, you're in negotiations for a new lease, right?
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Technically, yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense to drive the car that's currently being leased to you over to the house where you're trying to get the second lease from? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't get that. What does it mean?
It doesn't factor in?
Like meaning or whether I come up with this car or, I mean, that was just more. I didn't know it meant a lot to you that I.
Well, it doesn't. It's not. Here's the thing. The last time you guys came over, you drove Lynn's car, right?
Right.
And then we had that conversation in the bedroom where I was explaining that Lynn's car you guys own. And if you're putting mileage on it, you're just depreciating right. that car versus your car, which is well under the mileage. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. But at the time, the car was right there. We jumped in.
Well, that was that time. But then what about the second time? Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but I don't know why.
Dad, all right, let me do this. Let me do this. Hold on a second, Danny. Dad, let's flip it around. Let's just say you were leasing me a luxury car.
Right.
And Lynette... That's a good one. Lynette and I pulled up, and we were driving Lynette's car, which is a far less superior car, which is a much lesser car, and we own the car.
Right.
Right.
And I pulled up in front of your driveway, and me and Lynette came over, and you said to me, hey, why don't you drive the car I'm leasing you? Because I paid for the lease, and I paid for the mileage, and you're well under the mileage, and you're putting miles on Lynette's car. That doesn't make sense to me. You should drive my car. I've already paid for the mileage. And I said, okay, yeah, I didn't think about it. And then a month later, me and Lynette came over, and we're driving Lynette's car again.
I let you drive any car you wanted to drive.
You would.
I wouldn't be in it the way that you...
You wouldn't think about it. It wouldn't cross your mind.
But I don't think the car is the issue here.
I leased you the car. You drive it. Whatever's right for you, what's convenient...
It wouldn't bother you at all? You wouldn't think about it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in that situation.
You really, Dad? You really wouldn't think about it if you were leasing me a car and I rarely drove it to your house?
How many times do I drive to your house? I mean, that car I drive every day. I mean,
I know you drive it every day, but you don't drive it to my house.
Mr. Carolla, if I may, we have a little rule in my house with every woman I have ever lived with. If we're in a fight, that's one thing. But if we're not in a fight and somebody's feelings are hurt, the other guy doesn't get to care why. The other guy only gets to make the other guy feel better. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're not in a tooth and nail fight where somebody wants to win, mm-hmm. but say I've hurt your feelings somehow, Adam, and I didn't mean to,
right.
but you're starting to be kind of a jerk to me because your feelings are hurt.
Right.
I don't get to care why your feelings are or whether you're right or wrong. I only try to get to make my friend's feelings feel better. That's what I'm wondering. If you know it would make him feel better, why not, even if the other car is parked behind the Jag, pull it out, pull the Jag out, pull the other car back in, and pull up to Adam's house in the Jag.
Something to him. I now that I know it, yeah, then I will do. Now that I know it means that much to him, I would do it.
Well,
go home and get your fucking shine box.
But hold on a second, Dad.
Thank God my mother's going to die soon.
It didn't bother me the first handful of times you did it. It's just we had the conversation last time, which is it bothers me on an emotional level, but it bothers me financially that I've told you that I've paid for the mileage on your car and it's well under the mileage. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I didn't really get that. I thought you just...
I know, but I know you didn't get it, but when I told you I've paid for 36,000 miles and you have 27,000 miles on your car and you need to be driving the car more because I've already paid in advance for it, that would seem like something you could get.
Yeah, but I mean, I need to put that mileage on the car.
You don't need to. It's just, why put that mileage on the car you own? Why depreciate the car you own?
Because I would only do it because it means something to you. I would, otherwise, I would do it just spontaneously. Now I know it, and I will do it. I didn't know that.
I think I see his point. I think it just was inconvenient to get the car. And even though you'd had the conversation with him, he didn't understand that it was emotionally important. I think he just thought it was about the miles, and that wasn't important.
Dad, hold on a second. I refuse to think that this is something that only I would care about. This is something that almost every human being on the planet would care about.
Adam, that's a whole... Don't make the wide phrase that every human being on the planet would do it. I mean, I think
my feelings would be hurt, Mr. Carolla,
hey,
if
Dad,
I lose my dad a car.
Dad, would you like me to open the phone lines and get a polling of people who say, if you lease your father or mother or whoever an expensive luxury car and they don't drive it when they come to your house, oftentimes you ask them if they would have no feelings about it?
All right, what is the exact question? I'm as concisely as possible.
You would get something on both sides. I don't think you would.
You think how many people, Dad? How many people would say I have zero feelings?
That I lease my father a luxury Jag and he doesn't pull up to my house in it. Adam's phone number is 1-866.
Oh, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Well,
Dad,
you don't have to talk to him. You
seriously
just say yes or no to 12 people.
Dad,
that's a
do
jury.
You think there would be? You would get a pro and a con for that.
Yes, I do. I think there are people that wouldn't be such a mean that much to them emotionally.
What if then they had a conversation about paying for the car and paying for the mileage and how you're well below the mileage, and then the next time they drove the CRV again? You think you'd get arguments pro and con for that?
I think there'd be arguments on the side that I use the car the way I use it.
Right.
And that's just it. I drive it when I need to drive it.
But just out of courtesy.
But that's the point. Why don't you drive it when Adam needs you to drive it?
Well, now I see that. It emotionally means something to him that I'll do it. But I didn't have the idea that...
But, Dad, we are flirting with the idea your lease is up, right?
Yeah.
You'd like another lease?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't that seem like we've talked about the lease a lot, that, I'm getting calls from the place and it's on kind of the tip of my tongue? It's never something I've brought up in the past. I've leased your car for 10 years. I've never brought this up. But it's kind of come to a head here because it's at the front of my mind.
I guess I didn't get the picture that I had to use a certain amount of miles.
You don't have to, Dad. You can turn it in with 10,000 miles less than what I've paid for. I'm just explaining that I prepaid for those miles.
The miles don't mean as much.
I explained that to you.
I think if you only pulled up to Adam's house in it and didn't drive it anywhere else and it had 9 miles on it when you returned it, it would mean more than what you're doing.
No, hold on a second, everyone, and Dad, too. Look, there's an emotional component to this, but there's a pragmatic component to it as well.
Right. Not for me.
Which is I'm paying a bunch of money for something and I'm not getting use out of it. When my sprinklers are running and it's raining outside, there's no emotional component to it. I want it shut off because I don't want to waste money.
I fully understand that. All right, and I'm wrong for that.
All right, well, hold on, Dad. Somebody agrees with you. Hold on a second. Huh. Debbie?
Hello.
From Seattle, you agree with my dad?
I agree with both of you. I think he's a great daddy, and I think you're a fantastic son. And I think you just need to he's trying to apologize, and you've gotten your point across, and
That would be the point if that was the point of this phone call. The point of this phone call is not to get anyone to apologize. The point is that's too late. The point is we've got to learn the lesson of what is happening here. Nobody can win or lose this argument at this point. The crime, if you will, has occurred. The crime of the heart has occurred. You don't get to be a hung juror here.
Well, the question really is, Dad, if you're in the, I don't want to say bucking for, but
campaigning.
If you're thinking about another 3 or 4 year lease, this isn't the world's greatest strategy.
No, it's not a good campaign strategy.
It's making me not want to lease another car.
I
You know what I'm saying?
I understand that. And I don't understand that driving 11 miles to your house made any difference. One or the other. Now I see it. It does mean something. And I will do that. I mean, I come to your house once every 2 months or something. But if that, you know, now I understand what's behind it. But the last time I heard you were saying that I was stupid and like no education and
aren't you a school teacher?
You've been kind of. Last time I heard you also were putting. You never flew. The family was so, and I was wrong. You flew. You did fly.
Where?
No, you don't even get the facts straight sometimes.
Uh-oh. Well, where did I fly?
You flew to Wisconsin when you were about 5 or 6, and you flew to New Jersey, and you back east. And the family. You flew 2 or 3 times, absolutely, that I know of.
Before the age of 6 or 5.
What?
Before the age of 5 or 6.
Well, there was no need to fly.
No, I'm just saying, look, Dad, I may have technically flown from New Jersey to Wisconsin when I was 5 years old.
Were you being punished?
But I wasn't on a plane from the age 6 to age 30. I'm just saying I didn't fly.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but you were saying it in a blaming way.
Well, I'm saying we didn't really have the means.
That's how the family always cheats you of everything. You're always cheated by the family. And, I mean, that theme is really starting to... It's starting to get me now, particularly when you say stupid and no education.
He'd never call you stupid.
No, I never called you that.
That is correct.
He's pointed out that you're a teacher. He's pointed out that you were my teacher, which might have bolstered his case a whole lot. But, no, I don't. I think you. What happens is, and I've said this to people 100 times, if we ask 10 people what we just said, 9 people will be wrong. 9 people did not hear what poured out of their stereo
speakers.
No, but
I understand how it could be hurtful to hear something like that, and I understand what Mr. Kroll is saying.
Yes.
I think maybe why it's coming up, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but now, Adam, that you have kids of your own, it comes into sharp focus how your dad maybe wasn't there for you like you wanted.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah, first off, it's not good radio to say good things about everybody. It's never bad.
Absolutely.
I say bad things about everyone outside of the studio, and then when I leave the studio, I say bad things about everyone inside the studio.
The problem with it is Mr. Carolla, the other Mr. Carolla, the senior, doesn't know good radio from bad radio. When a wonderful elderly gentleman comes up and says, my son's calling me stupid, kind of takes the fun out of the bit.
Yeah, Dad.
I thought it enhanced the bit.
That's
now
it's a little radio hyperbole.
I've never been more uncomfortable.
I said you didn't have a formal education growing up, but I never called you stupid.
No.
I always think of you as smart, not business
and
smart.
And has said so.
Yes.
Yeah, frequently.
Dad.
All right. I'm getting in my car and I'm driving down.
Which one?
Albania.
He's driving to Albania.
All right.
If I'd been in an airplane, I'd know there was an ocean between those two places.
I think he's at Alpha Beta. He's going shopping.
Dad. Please understand, I'm not turning this into you needing to circle the globe in my car because I lease it to you. I'm just saying it's on my mind. It doesn't make sense to me that you're putting mileage on a car you paid for, and I've prepaid your mileage. And it's a much nicer car, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
But there is an element of, I don't need you to come in and kiss my ring. I just need a certain element of, if I'm going to lease you the car, it would be a nice tip of the cap if I saw you pull up in it 50% of the time.
Yeah, all right.
All right?
Got it.
All right, Dad. Have fun in Albania.
I think there was a lot of healing.
Let's see.
I've got a radio parent. If you called my mom right now and said, Mom, I'm going to relapse. I'm going to get drunk again, and things are going really bad. And,
why don't you call me Betty?
You know, I'm probably going to end up back in jail, but I just bought you a new Jag just in case this happens. She'd go, yeah, it's my boy.
Really?
Oh, I'd call her up from jail and say, I'm going to be on hard copy tonight. And she'd go, yeah. Keep that career alive.
I didn't realize I was on a plane to Wisconsin when I was 4 years old.
Maybe there was a funeral.
I remember that.
I feel bad.
It turns out I'm an international jet setter, and I didn't even know it.
Isn't that where the Ivory Coast is?
Chad?
Good morning, Adam. Yeah, that was kind of interesting, you know. I almost seems like he knew where he was coming from, and he thought he was kind of digging at you a little bit, you know.
Well, he's mad.
He was stewing a little bit.
No, but look, if you know me, you shouldn't listen to this show. I'm not going to sit around and say all the good points of my childhood or all your personal strengths.
Right.
That's
not interesting.
I'd rather complain. Now,
right.
I won't fabricate out of whole cloth.
Can I tell them something about that?
Real quick,
tell them how true that is, because I was like mad that I had to get hurt over this. I wanted to see if Sugar Ray Leonard could knock me down faster than that UFC guy. And I asked Adam at 6 o'clock if I could do it, and Adam said no. He said, I'm not going to BS anybody. Of course he could knock you down. I said, yeah, I just want to see if he could stay up longer than 14 seconds. I said, not unless he really hits you and tries his hardest. I mean, Adam will not fool around on this radio show. If you're hearing it from him, it usually means I'm taking some sort of beating. But it also means it's true. It's a fact if it's coming out of his mouth.
Well, I didn't remember going on an airplane to Wisconsin when I was four. I remember being in Wisconsin. I assume we drove to Wisconsin from wherever we were. But either way, I'm not going to say the best things about anyone, including myself.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Not interested.
I have called myself dumb on this show more than I've called any family member, any politician, or anybody I know.
I've talked about the fact that you say you can't and won't read often and wonder how you got so smart.
Yes.
You point out that you don't read, and to most adults, even if they don't read, which most adults don't, they pretend to, you don't.
Yeah, now, I definitely kick my dad around on the air, mostly because, A,
it's funny,
B, I don't assume he listens, and then C, with just a slight bit of hyperbole, just the slightest bit, I'm not making anything up.
Call my mom a whore and send her a 50, see if she doesn't crack up.
I think, though, to say one nice thing about Mr. Carolla, because now I feel bad, he's a very honest guy, and that's
very honest, and a very good guy. And like I said, for those of you who are reading too much into what my dad's situation was, you talked to my dad and you heard he didn't physically or emotionally, he didn't understand why it was any big deal to drive the car his son leases him to his house.
He would not
get it. I mean, we went around and around for a few laps. Eventually, I think I wore him down a little bit.
Yeah.
A bit. Did not understand.
But wore him down in a way that could have been really fun and wasn't, because he didn't get the fun part of it, where we said, like, you get the hideous Christmas sweater, and oh my God, Bob and Steve that gave it to us are coming over. Quick, we got to find it and wear it, even though it's hideous.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't get, I don't
Although
think he got that.
Although a gay couple wouldn't get you a hideous sweater.
No.
They get you.
Is that weird?
They probably get you.
Bob and Steve. You
probably
know,
get
that's
you.
That's in and Alex's fault that I just
I'd say
did
like
that.
A crew neck Navy
Whatever it is,
sweater.
When they gave you the ugly gift, you break it out at Christmas time. Now, this is a Jaguar. It's odd, but you know what I got to give your dad on this? He really doesn't get, he doesn't get it.
I told you, he stands by his guns. And please, Dad, and anyone who's listening, don't think that I'm being petty here and that I insist on people whatever, because I give people crap all the time and I have no rules. I don't say, I've leased my dad a car for 10 years. He's pulled up in my stepmom's car many times and I've never said a word about it. I don't care about it. It's just, the lease is up and I have paid for it. It's on my mind, and I had the conversation with him before.
Well, you're a better man than I. Remember I told you, and I guess I'll tell you the complete story. Remember Amy sent me a thing about this piano that she liked, and it was pretty cheap. I could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the note said on the piano?
What?
I don't care if you can sing, but you will hum twice a day for this piano for a year. I wish to be thanked. I wish to be thanked out loud. Oh. If I send money to Africa, I'm going to take it in an envelope and I'm going to give it to a guy with, you know, he's got no money. I'm going to say, yay, dude, start saying thanks right now.
My dad and
I like thanks.
Hey, Judy?
Yes.
You think your comment is what?
I say shame on you, Mr. Carolla.
Why?
Because, I think you've answered your own question, because when you explain this, you keep saying, it makes sense to me that he would drive this. Well, it's not about you. It's about your dad.
But
just let this go. You need just to let this go.
I'm paying
for it.
But he lets
it go. His dad's walking.
Judy, should he let it go by not paying the lease anymore?
Oh, correct. Obviously, it's not important to your father.
Yeah, but transportation is important to him.
Then let him drive his Jeep or whatever he has.
But what about Adam's feelings being important to his father?
Oh, Adam's a big boy.
All right, so Judy.
Let it go, let it go.
Dude, I'm 48 and I can be crushed
for the weight. When you say let it go, when you say let it go, it sounds like you're saying don't worry about it, but what you're saying is don't pay the new lease.
Correct. You know what? Why don't you take him to the dealership of a car of his choice so he feels comfortable in it and lease him that one. Maybe it might not be a Jag, maybe it might not, maybe a Lexus. I don't know.
That's my move.
Judy, first off, pardon the analogy, but you're all over the road.
Oh.
First is let it go.
Right.
Don't worry about
it.
Let my feelings go. The next part is let the lease go. Don't lease him the car. Right. And then the third part is take him to the dealer of his choice and lease him a Lexus.
Well, is it a comfort zone for him? Is it he's not comfortable in that car?
You've read way too many self-help books.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, maybe he doesn't want to drive that car.
No, you're missing
Judy,
this
you're,
point.
You're borderline retarded. He has no problem driving that car.
He loves
that
car
out. Oh. He just...
Okay, he takes it out. Okay.
My problem is Adam's feelings. My problem is not this car at all. He heard the conversation twice. He should have pulled up in that Jag.
It only inconvenienced him to take the Jag.
Hey, in my last apartment, we had to park behind each other, okay? And if we had to go somewhere and we went to one of the cars instead of the other, somebody pulled out, so we pulled back in, we took that car. Wouldn't have been an inconvenience to have said, hey, my son got me this car. You know, my mom, her car's now probably 4 years old and still says, my son gets me this car. My son's that guy from the TV
and
the radio.
Matt disagrees with me. Matt?
Adam, I can't believe I actually disagree with you, but, I mean, he's only coming a couple miles to your house. I could see if he's driving across the state.
The thing that my dad mentioned is he drives from his place to work.
I heard that, too. Yeah.
That's the same distance to my house.
Right.
It's the same distance. It's about 15 miles.
Driveway, get the other one out of the garage, and just it sounds like you have the status issue. You don't want to see your dad be driving in a crappy car or something.
More retarded idea.
Yes.
I don't care what the status of my dad and the car. Really? Is that what you glean from this entire exchange, that I'm worried about my dad and what the status?
It started to sound like that for a while. I think you've kind of backpedaled a little bit.
Do you think people an old guy with a big Jufro driving around and go, look, Corolla's dad's driving a Honda. I can't believe he's going Japanese. I thought he'd be a German or Englishman. Kidding me?
You didn't know that Adam had 97.1 painted on the doors and it says Adam paid for this?
Yeah, all right, Matt. I intentionally talk to people who disagree with me because I think it's a better conversation and maybe I can learn something except for...
Plus,
vastly overestimated my audience once again.
No, you didn't. You know what you did is you put your father on the radio saying, thank you for the car. I just didn't think you'd care. How can you win now?
All right. You're right.
Everybody's thinking about a car instead of a father thinking about his son's feelings, which he missed.
He made a mistake emotionally. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's inconsiderate. Inconsiderate is almost intentional. I think it was he really doesn't think this will hurt Adam's feelings.
That's inconsiderate. He should know. Adam already talked to him about it.
Okay. Then that's what it is. I say there's almost no crime being committed here of any kind because Mr. Corolla doesn't care and doesn't understand.
That's the crime. He should care. He's getting a car paid for him. Adam is his son. He should drive up in the Jaguar.
No, I think you should be proud that my son can and does.
Look, it's more about the prepaid mileage. It's about me financially paying for the car that's not being used. I would say it to anyone. Look, if I did this for a stranger or did it for anyone I know, and I said, I have prepaid for your car, and when you come to my house, you're not driving the car I prepaid for, it could be my dad, it could be a stranger, it could be the priest that molested me, it wouldn't matter. I would have the same opinion.
Maybe it's
been supersized because it's my dad, but if it was a person I never met a day in my life and I, for some reason, was leasing them a car, I would say to him, hey, buddy, get with the program, and it wouldn't be because it was a hurt child crying out for the love of his whatever. It would be a guy who is paid for something that is not being utilized. All right, we need to take a break. T?
Yes.
That was cathartic. What's going on in the news?
That's bitchin', man.
Well, Kanye West's mom died over the weekend.
Going to a car she was driving. I wonder if she drove up to his house and said, my son hates white people, but look at the car he bought me.
Well, she died under some suspicious circumstances. We'll get to that. And also, Kelly Pickler had a breakdown about her mom.
You never wanted anything to do with me my whole life.
It's Mom and Dad Don't Love Me Day.
Good
here
times.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
The Ebersols are lucky to be alive after a 600-pound cow literally fell from the sky and crashed their car. The cow apparently got disoriented and fell from a cliff. The cow did not wish to go on camera.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yep.
What's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Kanye West's mother died Saturday in Los Angeles. She was 58 years old. Kanye's mom was chief executive of Kanye's business empire. She was chairwoman of the Kanye West Foundation. You're listening to a song called Hey Mama that Kanye wrote for her from his 2005 album Late Registration. His mom was also former English professor who chaired the English department at Chicago State University before she retired to work with her son. She released a book earlier this year called Raising Kanye, Life Lessons from the Mother of a Hip-Hop Superstar. Now, there are unconfirmed reports that Kanye's mother died at a plastic surgeon's office where she was getting a tummy tuck and breast implants. The source says, quote, "I'm not sure if it was the anesthesia or what, but she never made it out of the operating room alive." Those are unconfirmed reports. Kanye's rep released a statement saying that the family respectfully asked for privacy during this time of grief.
Well, tragic either way, but if we find out it was during plastic surgery, and Pat O'Brien's going to be all over that crap.
Right. I mean, it's so sad. Either way, elective surgery somehow seems...
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Hold on.
Betty Bonaducci.
Betty Bonaducci's on the blower.
Hey.
She's got some commentary.
Mommy?
Betty?
Howdy.
Hi, Mom.
How are you?
Hi.
I am splendid, and I'm not on the floor.
Nice.
What's up?
Well, I heard that deal about the Jag.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Adam, I got an offer for you.
What do you got? You need a car?
Well, actually, do you have to really need a Jag? You got to want a Jag.
Yeah, maybe you have to earn one.
And, well, that's what I got in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You buy me a Jag, and I'll give you something I haven't given anybody in 50 years. Bye.
Hey, bye, Mom.
Whoa, whoa,
bye,
whoa,
Mom.
Whoa.
Bye, Mom. Whoa. Goodbye, Mom.
She's only been 48 for me.
Wow.
Bye, Mom.
Sorry, that is one thing the Corollas are good at, and Dad keeps me very satisfied.
Oh, God. Okay, good.
But I appreciate the offer.
You gotta like her.
You really gotta love
her. You gotta
her.
Like her.
Wow.
She's got chutzpah, or whatever your people call it.
Whatever she wants to put spa on, it's apparently him.
Yeah, she's got blank spa.
I'm sad she hung up. That was about to get feisty.
You know why? I'm glad she... Because she... I mean, she'd have said stuff she shouldn't have said, and I'd have lived with all day. I'm really glad she hung up.
I just threw up in my
mouth. Filthy but funny. T?
That's my mommy.
The news.
The Hollywood Writers Guild, the WGA, was not impressed with the on-air love that Ellen DeGeneres sent her writers when she crossed their picket line to resume filming her
but
show.
But she's not interested.
She stood in a different spot.
Right. How could that not have
she
been
she normally
good
stands over here and does the monologue. This time she stood over there and did the monologue.
Matter right of fact, I'm going to show some solidarity.
Danny's standing in a different wow spot, everybody.
You are really okay supporting.
How you turn this thing on? Am I good? Okay. Yeah. There. I just want to respect the writers.
That'll pay the mortgage, writers.
Right. Well, the WGA...
Put a shirt on, Danny. No one wants to see it.
The WGA released a statement saying that they are extremely disappointed to see that Ellen has chosen not to stand with writers during the strike. Ellen's peers, who host comedy variety shows, have chosen to support the writers and help them get a fair contract. Ellen has not. On her first show back, Ellen said she loves and supports her writers, but her actions prove otherwise. They are asking her to cease doing shows immediately.
But what about her fans? I love that. As if Letterman and Kimmel and Letterman, or is it Leno and everyone else, as if no one else has fans? You know what I mean? Like, Ellen did the thing where she's like,
them?
She's like, I would love to support the writers, and as a matter of fact, I do support the writers. I mean, not actually. I'm not actually going to do anything, but I do support the writers. I just have my fans, and my fans are so important to me, which Well, of course you have fans. So do the other folks that have ratings and television shows. They have fans as well.
You recall when she took those couple me days during the Iggy crisis.
Yeah, what about your fans? You had a lap dog that was taken from one hairdresser to some other needy family, and you took 2 days off work. What about your fans?
Or what about John and Elizabeth Edwards, who were scheduled to appear on one of those shows to promote breast cancer awareness?
What about their fans and everyone who's not a fan of breast cancer? Very good point.
And I must say, in all sincerity, I had this conversation with Bob Moore. I said, you're not really my boss. You're the big cheese around here. But anybody that chooses to listen to the Adam Carolla show instead of another one, they send you the money to pay me. And that makes them my employers. So I not only love them, they're my boss. You gotta respect your fans.
I'm the American taxpayer. That's my boss. Oh, wait a minute.
No.
You hate them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, okay. Go ahead.
The WGA went on to say, we find it sad that Ellen spent an entire week crying and fighting for a dog that she gave away, yet she couldn't even stand by writers for more than one day. Writers who have helped make her extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say that she has responded that she wishes to preserve the 135 jobs of the staff and the crew whose livelihoods depend on the show continuing.
Right. But again, everybody else. What's everyone else doing?
Now, I thought that we'd all heard the last of Iggy the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much.
We will if I have it in a gun.
Your pal, who the aforementioned Pat O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Did it?
No.
Oh.
His show, The Insider, will air a special on Iggy and his new home tonight. Oh, yes.
Must be sweet.
Loaded out of my mind.
It is sweeps.
Yeah.
You want to hear Tom Arnold on the picket line talking about why Arnold Schwarzenegger should be getting involved?
All right. But before you hear this, realize he doesn't have a head cold. He doesn't have a deviated septum. He just did way too much blow in the 80s. And this is what happens when you do too much blow in the 80s.
It's pretty intense.
Well, listen, he handled the wildfires really well. He's been in our business for longer than probably Dennis and I have. He knows how important writers are. Believe me, he wouldn't be anything without writers. If somebody wrote, I'll be back, for God's sakes.
I'll be back.
Can't tell if he's jabbing him or... I mean, it was really one of Tom Arnold's only good theatrical roles. Although I like Tom Arnold, and I think Tom Arnold's a talented guy. That was a real breakout role for him.
Yeah.
True Lies.
Right.
Yeah, he was a funny, legitimate sidekick in that movie, and that was a good movie. Is he taking a jab at Arnold?
I think he wants Arnold to get involved. He's requesting that the governor intervene in the strike.
When he said he did a good job on those fires.
I think he really did do a good job on the fires. I think most people agree that things were handled as best as they could have been.
So he did a good job on the fires, now do a good job on the picket
lines.
That's
what I got from it.
Okay.
I'm such a puss. He's a good movie star. I want to vote for him. That's it.
Well, you know, right. Things in San Diego at the wherever they play.
Right.
Their football stadium.
Qualcomm.
Stick
right.
Make it.
You know, they had the acupuncture and the massage and the food, and everyone was saying how, you know, it was... saying it was handled very well.
I heard they ran dangerously low on sashimi at a certain point, and FEMA had to airlift in a lot of whitefin tuna.
I thought the Pilates instructors were subpar.
Mm,
didn't get a good workout.
Give them a C-minus T. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break? Why don't you give a tease?
Oh, again, we got to hear this Kelly Pickler saga. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You never wanted anything to do with me my whole life.
Breaking down about her mom.
I got to tell you, I saw that. It was during Elmo's World of Sesame Street. I thought it was inappropriate. They have a lot of celebrities in there, and they have Sheryl Crow singing her hits, and the members of the New York Giants doing their thing and everything. But Pickler breaking down.
It's upsetting to the kids.
I had to turn it down. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. Back with the rest of the news next.
I don't know why. That's something you need to look deep into your soul to find out.
Good times, baby girl. T.
Yep.
What's going on in the rest of the news?
We were talking about Kelly Pickler.
Mm.
At the Country Music Awards, the former American Idol superstar broke down in tears toward the end of her song, I Wonder, which talks about her mother abandoning her when she was a baby. Kelly's mother, Cynthia Malone, claims that she ran away because she was being abused by her husband. But Kelly believes that Cynthia is just trying to play the sympathy card with her by playing the victim in the press.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Kelly on Good Morning America.
I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm just hurt because she continues to make herself look like the victim.
And here's where she goes
now,
on.
Now, is that? Oh, that's Kelly. Kelly that's Pickler. Not Mama. Okay.
Here she goes on.
I don't know why you want anything to do with me now. You never wanted anything to do with me in my whole life. You know, this is the closest you're ever going to get to me because I'm done. I'm done.
That was heartbreaking.
That was done where? Why was the music playing in the background?
Well, they were probably showing B-roll on Good Morning America of her at the Country Music Awards singing about her mom. So you could hear, they were doing the interview, you know, they roll clips. So you could hear it in the background.
Gave me an idea, though. Bald Brian. Yeah. So I felt like that was emotional.
It was.
But the fact that it had her hit song playing in the background, when I call people with either good or bad news, I'd appreciate some accompanying music. Maybe you can come home and do that. We got it. No, I don't mean
that. Now talk about how your dad doesn't drive the car.
Dad, I feel I would get distracted because I'd be going, Dad, I'm a fair-minded guy. Hell, I got pictures, candy. I'm a lovable man. And I'll take. Wait a minute. What was I saying? I'll take you to the nearest star. Hold on. Dad, I love you. I need you. I want to. Got to have you. Great God in heaven, Dad. You know I love you. I just wanted to see you put out the miles on the leased car. That's all. That's your vehicle, baby.
Even my mom said she'd put out.
You want something more appropriate.
Now, if I want to get oral, I can go to the Bonaducci house with a Lexus in my hand.
Alexis, you don't have to go to my mom's. You just go to my house, buddy.
I'm just saying it'd be nice to have some music behind you when you made those phone calls or you made those pleas. I like it. Yeah,
well, she was just making an appearance on Good Morning America. Mm. Now, of course, her mother relinquished custody of her when Kelly Pickler was just 2 years old.
Mm.
And I guess now she wants back in her life now that she's a success. Kelly's not too happy. Here is what Kelly's mother, Cynthia Malone, had to say.
The beatings came more frequent. I knew I was going to lose my life if I didn't leave. So I packed up one day and I left. I left her with her grandparents. I did what was in the best interest for her, Miss Kelly.
And then she came back or not?
Well, these days it would seem that she would like to be part of Kelly Pickler's
life. Happens a lot.
But she didn't come back then.
No.
No.
Ooh. I could go off on my mom's side of the family, too.
Well, that,
how would I know
not?
That?
Even it up.
This one's going back to Grandma. But,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Grandma abandoned your mom?
Taken away.
What? By the state?
Yes.
Nut job?
And they didn't have a lot of rules back
then.
No. They had some. Yeah.
Ooh.
Good
times. Was your grandma really crazy? Like her voice is kind of crazy or whatever? Like big crazy?
No, she just liked to do her own thing and didn't want to do a whole lot of child rearing at a young age.
So who raised your mom?
Her grandparents.
That's what happened with Kelly Pickler.
Okay. Jack Nicholson beats all of you.
Except for my mom didn't win any Grammys.
Right.
That's the problem.
So then no one came back.
Do you know that Jack Nicholson's sister is really his mother? And his mother is who, Brian?
Found out later in life is who he thought was his mother was actually his grandmother. Thought was his sister.
This is a Pearl Jam song.
Same as Bobby Darin.
Isn't that bizarre?
Good times.
Yeah.
It hasn't slowed him down any.
No. Nope.
Well, on to the bizarre. Here's a story about a man who was having sex with a mannequin. That's not even the weirdest part.
Yeah.
I'm getting to that. This is a big day for perverts all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we'd have a day one of these days. I don't need the parade.
South Dakota Supreme Court has decided they've set the legal precedent that having sex with a mannequin can be completely legal. The court was hearing the case of Michael James Plenty Horse of Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Plenty
That's
Horse.
His name.
You should not be talking about sex and a guy whose name is Plenty Horse.
Well, Plenty Horse, back in 2005, when Plenty Horse was 19.
No, his son, Pommel.
His uncle Quarter. He was getting on with a mannequin.
Cousin Hobby.
I can't stop.
All right.
Michael was at the Washington Pavilion of Arts and Sciences, which is a museum and an entertainment and cultural center in Sioux Falls. He was on the third floor in a room called the Alumni Room, where the pavilion displays local high school memorabilia. One of which was a mannequin.
They shouldn't have put her in the cheerleading outfit.
She
they had.
In-
They had to know this was coming.
Here's the thing. She was in a band uniform.
Yeah.
The mannequin was in a band uniform. A security guard.
She was asking for it.
Checked on the room and found Michael inside alone on top of the female mannequin in the band uniform, which was partially removed.
Let's see.
His pants were down, and he was thrusting.
Could have been a huge fan.
What girl do I know?
That's all.
What girl do I know that's in a band and like boning a mannequin? Oh yeah, she has a lawyer. Never mind, I can't talk about it.
Well, he was arrested and charged with indecent exposure. He was convicted, which got him a suspended sentence and probation. But the biggest issue for Big Horse, he had to register as a sex offender, which is no fun. When your name is Plenty Horse. So he appealed. He didn't want to be a registered sex offender. And on Thursday, the state Supreme Court overturned his conviction. They ruled he was not guilty of indecent exposure because he wasn't exposing himself in public. He was alone in the room with the mannequin, so he does not have to register as a sex offender.
It's got to be a nice fence. For your coworkers. Hey, I'm not going to be in on Monday. Why? What's up there, Plenty Horse? Court date. Court date, what do you got? Parking tickets? Nope. 502, drunk driving? Nope.
Didn't stop for...
rolling through a four-way red zone?
No, pedestrian. What are
you doing, fighting for a ticket? You fighting a ticket? Is that what's going? Nope. You want to just flip all the cards over? Because I don't think you're going to guess. I don't think you're going to guess here.
Kelly, you want to flip the cards?
Yeah, now you guys, I think you guys would appreciate this, because they want me to register... as a sex offender. Oh, what happened? You saw a little internet porn or something when one of your nieces ran through the room? Nope. 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 I was raping a mannequin with a fur hat on the second floor of the cultural center. The idea that Sioux Falls has a cultural center is the most terrifying part of this whole story to me. But, you know, guy can't rape a mannequin in a band uniform in a public museum without getting slapped with the title of sex offender. I'm just going to move to communist Russia then. Jesus Christ, what year are we living in? There's a witch hunt. Hey, Senator McCarthy, call off the troops. I was blowing off a little steam on top of a mannequin in a band uniform in a museum, so shoot me.
Didn't they actually?
That makes you a sex offender? Well, I'm sorry. If that makes you a sex offender, then guilty. Guilty as charged. As you're telling me, in this greatest of God's nations, a man can't dry hump a mannequin in a museum wearing a high school band uniform. Well, then
I hope it was dry.
Then I don't want to live in this country anymore. And I don't want to raise young mannequins in this country. All right.
I don't
mean to try and add anything to Mr. Carolla's rant there, but just at the end, I would like to notice that if you're actually having sex with something made of plastic, you don't need a condom. And do we or do we not promote safe sex in this country?
Decent point.
Thank you, sir.
There'd be no AIDS if everyone had sex with mannequins.
The court agreed with you, saying, lewd though it may be, it does not fall within the purview of the indecent exposure statute.
This guy couldn't possibly be a danger. He's the kind of guy you'd want watching your kids if you're out of town for the weekend.
I hope he's available for sitting if you have any gigs in Sioux Falls.
Sure. Get Plenty Horse in here. He'll watch the kids.
I'll leave you with this. Number one at the box office.
Ooh, he raped a hat rack, though, in the entry hall.
No.
Yeah, there was it's the way you slung the coat over it.
He thought it was a nine-point buck. He's one of those guys.
Sorry, go ahead, T.
Number one at the box office, the animated comedy B-Movie, making $26 million.
I haven't heard about that one.
I know, almost getting no publicity. And number two, American Gangster.
Mm.
Number three, Vince Vaughn's Christmas comedy, Fred Claus, and tanking. Number four, the new Tom Cruise movie, Lions for Lambs, made only $6.7 million.
Got bad reviews, at least through Siskel and Roper, and I think people have had officially now a brimming, impacted ass full of Iraq and the war and the man playing with lives of high school dropouts. Like, I understand everything's wrong. But between Bill Maher and the rest of this country for the last 4 years or so, I don't want to see another movie or hear another story about how badly it's going over there.
Rounding out the top five, Dan in real life. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Chris Elliott, one of my comic heroes, Chris Elliott, is going to be on the show next. Oh, you know him from Something About Mary and Late Night with David Letterman all those years and Kingpin and Groundhog Day. God, he's doing a ton of movies. Oh, Manhunter. I forgot we talked to him about that one, too. All right, quick break. Back with Chris Elliott next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Need I remind you, sirs, I am a male model, not a male prostitute.
Please sit back, enjoy, and welcome Chris Elliott. Chris!
Chris Elliott is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Chris?
How are you?
Great to speak to you as usual.
Thank you. It's great to speak with you guys.
Hey, Chris Elliott, before I give your book a plug, Into Hot Air, Mounting Mount Everest. It's a there's a book signing tonight at Barnes & Noble in Santa Monica at 7:30 in the p.m. Before I give that a plug.
Nicely done.
When are you going to do that, just so I know?
I'll get to it at 8:27.
All right, good. I won't be talking at that moment.
What's going on with the writer strike as far as you know? Now, you were involved. You were writing on Letterman in 88 when we had our last writer strike. How did that work?
That lasted a long time, and I'm not sure that we got too much from it, but this one is like, you know, it's a major deal, and these issues are pretty important. So and from what I hear, it's the same stuff you've heard, that it's a standoff. But I have also heard that there's little inklings of things going on behind closed doors and stuff that might open things up, but who knows?
I'll tell you, one of the problems, I never thought about it, but the problem with writers is they can't do anything else.
Right.
It's not like they're master craftsmen or carpenters.
Right. Right.
They can't go back to building bridges or engineering anything. They have video games and masturbation. That's all they can do.
That pretty much describes my morning.
I talk
to you guys.
I never really thought about it, but writers, other than writing, are some of the least useful people on the planet, so nobody has a gig to go back to.
Next to actors.
Yes, you are.
And we go out in June, so it's
you're right.
Yeah, it does look like there might be a strike for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Well, so Chris, one thing that's never really been discussed, at least to my knowledge, people know in 88 the writers went out on strike and it took a few months to resolve. How was it resolved? Did you get what you wanted? Do you remember what you wanted?
I don't even remember what we wanted. I don't remember getting anything that was fantastic. I remember that the sentiment was sort of like, we got some stuff, but not everything.
So the feeling was it was a compromise, and it wasn't even a 50-50 compromise. Maybe it was a 70-30 compromise, and you guys were the 30.
I would imagine that would probably be the case.
Or do you feel like they starved you out?
I don't remember that. I don't remember it being as intense as this one, to be honest with you. I don't remember it being as, the issues being, as volatile as they are now and at loggerheads like we are at this point.
And you were writing for Letterman, by the way, 4 consecutive Emmys.
Yes,
writing over there and then tons of nominations. So you're writing over for Letterman at that point. How did Letterman handle it? Was it any different than any of the other late night shows, or were they all just a unified front?
They were a unified front. I mean, Dave eventually, I think the strike was like 5 months or so, and Dave stayed off for like 3 months. And I'm not entirely sure what the ramifications were, but he eventually came back on without writers.
Right.
I think he tried to write his own top 10 lists and stuff for a while.
Well, he did. He started doing these things that actually I think the show sort of continued to do after the writer's strike, too, like, Hal Gurney's Network Time Killers and things like that.
Right.
Putting a camera out on the street and talking to people and that kind of stuff. Which Dave can definitely do. But, he's very loyal to his writers and is supporting the strike 100% and supported that one, too.
We're talking to Chris Elliott. It's funny, actually. I was talking to Steve O'Donnell, who you, I'm sure, know.
He was my head writer when I was working for Dave.
All right. So he was the head writer over at Letterman for many years. He's now the head writer over at Kimmel. And he was talking to Letterman, I guess, during the first strike. He was saying that whenever he would do the top 10 list, the head writer would turn in the top 10 list. Letterman would always say, this is too long, this is too long, this is too long. They need to be shortened. They need to be shortened, especially since it was going to come out as graphics on the screen. Steve commented to me on Saturday night that he noticed when Letterman wrote his own, they're all very longly worded questions, which is an interesting little psychological study in human beings.
The thing about Dave is, I mean, he is a writer at heart, you know, he's,
right.
And that's how he started. And, but I saw an interview with him along, like in the 80s, like right when Late Night was just starting. And it was kind of sweet because he said, you know, yeah, he's funny and he can come up with stuff and it's great. It's a great feeling. But he said the best investment in the world in his mind is being able to pay somebody who can come up with something better than he can.
Well, you know what I like? I like that. And this is why, pardon me. This is why I think Kimmel will be on forever or for as long as he wants to be. You know how, like, some people say we don't have the smartest president in the world, but he knows enough to surround himself with really smart people?
Right.
It seems like Kimmel steals the very best.
Right.
Well, the head writer for Letterman is not a bad plan.
Yeah. I think I'll go for that guy.
Although originally he was going after the head writer of Thick of the Night. And didn't work out.
Is that right? Did he steal him from Letterman while he was still employed there?
No. Steve left and went on. He worked for a couple of different shows before he ended up
right.
in Jim.
Right, yeah, wasn't no. stolen. But
in real life, Kimmel just knows talent.
But he was a big fan and a huge, I mean, Kimmel is a massive Chris Elliott fan.
He's trying to get me to do the guy under the seats on his show. And I can't do that anymore.
No?
He got me to be the guy in the box.
Hey, Chris Elliott? Can I ask you this? I was watching, what was it, Something About Mary. They were playing it on cable, I think it was last weekend. And I was watching your character with the skin lesions.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I really loved the movie, but I probably could have lived without Chris Elliott and the skin lesions. And then I thought, if I was Chris Elliott, I would have constantly been trying to talk the Farley brothers out of the skin lesion part because that's just more and more continuity problems and more time in the makeup chair.
Right.
And it's felt like your role was really funny anyway.
Yeah.
Did you ever say,
Well, you know, here's the little thing. That was the skin lesions weren't in the script. They were actually my idea.
Oh, I feel like an ass. Now I feel like a colossal jackass.
You know what a good thing to do is right now? That is, hey, we're talking to Chris Elliott. He's got a brand new book out. It's called Mounting Mount Everest. Oh, it's so funny. And there's a book signing tonight, Barnes & Noble in Santa Monica at 7:30. And by the way, that one happens to have one of the best coffee shops. So if the line were to be real long to get your autograph, go have a cup of coffee, go out to the 3rd Street Promenade. This will be a very good book signing because you'll almost, as long as he'll stay, you'll be comfortable and have coffee and shopping.
So that was your idea.
Damn, I try and get him out.
I saw it and I thought, okay, I tend to like to hide behind makeup and wigs and stuff like that whenever I'm doing anything. And I thought, yeah, it'd be funny if he just starts to get this rash all through the movie and then at the end it's just this full-blown. I think the actual boil on my eye was Peter Farrelly. But everything else was mine.
And is it true in Kingpin you wanted the guy to have the fake hand?
It
was your idea?
Yeah, I actually wanted to have it, but we ended up giving it to Woody Harrelson.
Is there a reason that certain actors do that? Mike Myers hides behind disguises.
Well, you know, Mike Myers, you know, can do impersonations like, you know, these beautiful, you know, perfect impersonations. You know, I don't think he's hiding. I'm actually just hiding bad acting. I'm actually just hiding the fact that I can't act.
Me too. That's like on radio.
Some of it is, putting makeup on a beautiful supermodel, and the other is just putting a little powder on a zit.
Right, exactly.
It's two different
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Good well, analogy. You know, it's interesting, though, you bring up, please, Chris, I'm a big fan, as is everyone I know.
I never thank you for coming to that failed pilot that we did for Jimmy's company, but it was really sweet that you showed up.
Yeah, we did a pilot for our company.
Your company.
Just seemed like Jimmy's company because I don't do anything.
So it wasn't actually that sweet of you to show up as much as it was your job.
I was yelled at. I was told I had to be there. No, we did a pilot for Comedy Central with Chris Elliott and did a ton of really funny sketches, and it didn't get picked up. And the only thing I can think of...
Yeah, I'm interested. What's your take on it?
Well, I was watching it, and I was thinking, man, this is impressive, and man, there's a lot of Chris Elliott, and man, this is involved. And my only thought was, this is a tall order to do every week.
Right.
Because it's tons of filming, and it's tons of editing.
That was the plan. I sort of thought it was just, I just had to give them one thing.
Yeah, so I tend to think they didn't want it based on the tall order part, because it couldn't have been that it wasn't funny, because it was hysterical. And I saw it Friday night a couple of weeks back when we taped it over at Kimmel's Theater. But Elliot.
Yeah.
Chris Elliott, that is.
Yeah.
Into Hot Air, Mounting Mount Everest.
Yes.
That is tonight, Barnes & Noble, new book, comedy about what?
You're spoofing the Crack Hour books, right?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, Into Thin Air was the starting point on it. But all the stuff that I write always starts with, you know, one thing that I'm parroting and then goes off into all different directions. I basically sort of, you know, keep the TV on while I'm writing, and whatever I hear, I add it into my book. But it's me climbing Mount Everest with a bunch of celebrity friends. Lauren Bacall is there. Tony Danza comes along. Martin Sheen.
Hey, who's the Beck Weathers of your group?
I actually am. I'm the guy who loses a nose.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nice.
Somebody always comes back with a black nose Everest.
And, yeah, it's either your toes or your nose.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael Moore comes along, too, and I'm basically...
Well, you're going to need something to eat if a blizzard kicks in. Hey, Chris, good luck tonight at the Barnes & Noble
Thanks,
in Santa
guys.
Monica,
Thanks
7:30. Always good to
Big
talk
fan,
to you.
Big fan, man. Bye. I like that guy.
You know, Mike Myers is one of these guys. I didn't bring it up in front of Chris, but he, just because I didn't remember, he does these characters because I think we're talking about hiding behind a character.
Yep. Look at the size of that boy's head.
It's probably where he's most comfortable.
He says he hates the size. He says he looks ridiculous on TV. He can't act. That's why he never talks in his voice and always wears some kind of disguise.
That's a huge noggin.
And you don't see him making the rounds. You just don't
see him. It's
not on the
red carpet much.
Anywhere. And again,
well, I won't make room for him.
All these celebs... Danny rolls the carpet up. He rolls himself in the red carpet. He lies down on the end and he rolls himself up like a shade. My advice to all those celebrities that never stop talking about the paparazzi and being hounded by the paparazzi and all that, I'm going to add Mike Myers to my list of Jodie Foster, which is huge A-list celebrities that have been in the public eye for 10-plus years. Never see him anywhere. No scandals, no ass showing on the red carpet, no nothing. Why? They stay home and raise their kids. All right.
Just like me.
Although Jody bought her kids. But either way, they're raising them. Do you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take ourselves a break. It's Monday. It's Music Monday. We have a theme, and that theme is overused medical themes. All that doctor this and bad case of that. I was shocked when young Mike never heard of the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu.
You're kidding.
Huh.
Yeah. See that? We'll take a quick break. Be back with the themes and your suggestions next.
It's Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. This time around, we're counting down the best and the worst songs with overused medical themes. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I think we'll keep going next week into bad medicine.
Next, well, let me cross that one off my list. Thanks, guys.
Well, this is the one we used as an example last week, so you should have seen it coming.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to rambling and gypsy women next week.
I like the theme thing. I really did.
Well, let's...
But did you find the problem? I'm sorry for the order, but did you find the problem that you had too many?
I there's always an embarrassment of riches whenever you're looking for bad-themed rock songs, but I pared them down. T had two of mine.
I had alternatives.
They were on your alternative list. I think I got one of them, and you may have kept one of my favorites.
Weird. We're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. We're almost twins. Thompson twins.
Oh, no! You have that?
I did have that song. That is a horrible song. All right. Bad medically themed doctor and patient and shots of love and all that good stuff. We're going to start with the good.
Okay.
This is from my beloved Who.
Dr. Jimmy and Mr. Jim.
Dr. Jimmy. Listen to the whole side of Quadrant. Serafinia.
That's fine.
There's a line. Had to bleep that. I just love, you know, and it's 1973, so it's not a guy with a Casio, you know. It's just fully orchestrated.
White hair over one eye.
Yes. Flock of sea crap. All right, that's a good one. Now let me give you something bad from 1982, number one, everybody. I graduated high school. This is what I had waiting for me in the real world.
That's not a good theme.
No.
The hits, the year you graduated high school.
This is bad. It's not nearly the worst Robert Palmer has to offer. He doesn't get his due for sucking.
Oh,
is
yeah.
He dead?
Yes.
And you can tell Adam's all broken up about it.
And look, it didn't have to go down that way, but Robert wouldn't commit to not writing any more horrible songs, and I had to do what I had to do.
I had to unleash the beast.
That's right. Now, Robert Palmer's written some horrible, horrible, horrible songs, and he's right up there with Rod Stewart. He writes horrible, horrible songs that gets played over and over, and then every once in a while you go, hey, sneaking down the alley with Sally, I kind of like that song. What's up? That's Robert Palmer. And then you realize it was written by someone else, just like you do with First Cut is the Deepest and Rod Stewart. You realize that's a Cat Stevens song, and that's why you like it.
This song is really atrocious.
It is, but I have a worse one. Well, not chambered, but in the clip. And right. It'll come to the chamber in the next couple of few. Let's keep going with my next bad one, although I must say, I do have a little soft spot in my heart for this. They call me Dr.
They call me Dr.
Kiss.
Anything but Kiss.
Kiss is one of those bands where they're kind of a bad band, but they're kind of a good band.
They're a great band.
I couldn't call them a great band, but Kiss is Kiss. They're like they're corn dog, which is it's not food, it's not lunch, it's not dinner. I would arrest anybody that fed it to my kid, but give me another.
I'm wondering if we're
purely American and just sort of works on some level, although not sure about this song.
Everybody makes fun of Carrot Top, but if you go time the laughs between Carrot Top's act and some of these great comics, he gets more laughs per show than anybody I've ever seen.
Kiss is the Carrot Top.
Yeah, good. I'll go with rock. That.
Although I forgot how bad the production was on this song.
Yeah. That does suck. They're not killing me.
More form than substance in both cases.
Yes, thank you. All right, that's Dr. Love from Kiss. They have nine. They have 2.5 chords and 9 words in every one of their songs.
Love and
lick it up,
right. Beth.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T and Danny have their stuff. I have my number one. This was almost on there. Dr. Worm by They Might Be Giants. But I've used it before, so I thought I'd put it on the back burner. I have some good stuff planned. T, Danny, yours as well, and yours at 866-901-ADAM. We'll do the medically based Music Monday. Continue that next.
Now, what medicine are we talking about here?
About healing, and the song says right in that, I'm your medicine, open up and let me in.
Penicillin.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's right.
There's medication and sex.
Penicillin.
I like it.
You're running dangerously low, baby. Let me top off your tank.
About a shot enough, of penicillin. That's usually how you get an infection.
Too bad infection and erection have to rhyme.
So close.
Yeah, so close.
One often does lead to the other.
Mmm.
I mean, Let's Get It On is a better song, but this has to do with healing.
Yeah, but you have to cut through all that heavy metaphor and simile.
What does it mean?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Let's Get It On. What's it?
I don't know what it is. I wish you'd just come out and say it so I could figure it out.
Too fancy.
Yeah. You both sound like Clinton. It depends on what your definition of is. What the hell are you talking about? He's talking about boning. That's what he's talking about.
Feel bad because you can't put this song on a... You can't put this song on a sex mix because it's too obvious and would be embarrassing, but it is a really good sex song.
Do you have a sex mix?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's awesome.
I made it for Batman.
Do you,
That's the opening and the closing. No. Are you kidding? Nothing makes me lose my boner faster.
Do you look at him when you're done and go, I'm Teresa Stassa, and that was sex?
That was what should pass for sex.
All right, so that's good. Danny, what do you got in the good department?
Now, I know you're going to go scream on the nose, but there's a sentimental reason this is also such a great song for me for medical.
Dr. Roberts.
But that's not it. No. Let's go, man. First of all, I loved Motley Crue. I thought they were just the best of the hair bands that there were. But Dr. Feelgood was a real thing. You used to be able to doctor shop. Those days are over of getting 30 Vicodin from this doctor and 30 Vicodin from this doctor because every pharmacy is now connected by computer.
Right.
So Dr. Feelgoods are dead. They're the Tyrannosaurus of getting high.
What are they actually referred to as Dr. Feelgoods? Yeah. The ones that would just give you any prescription?
No, those guys were really just drug dealers that traveled on the road with you. And then somebody needed to go see Dr. Feelgood. This is about Dr. Shopping. It's about going to get your prescriptions filled at 87 different Rite Aids.
Yeah, it's back in the day when guys like Elvis could get what they needed whenever, wherever. All right. This is a place in my heart for the hair bands.
Me too. Like especially the good ones.
All right, Dr. Feelgood. Now we'll go to my last in the good department before we get to the bad. Black Crowes.
Just came up my own. By somebody who knows music really well, picked this song, and I said I didn't know it.
But you know it now, right?
Yeah, now I hear it, but I'm not going to play a song I don't know.
I can dig it.
What's this song called?
Remedy.
I think I always thought they were saying Lemonade.
Lemonade. But how about the part where he says it's a remedy?
I tuned it up.
For this lemonade stand blues, it's a hot summer's day. I need gas money for my meaty pie. How about some lemonade? Said lemonade.
It really sounded like lemonade to me, and I didn't understand why he was so passionate about getting his lemonade. Hot day?
Baby, what happens when you mix lemonade with iced tea? You get an Arnold Palmer with free refill. Oh, to quench your thirst like nothing else. They'll ride your bike up to the stand. Don't rape my stepsister, she's only 9.
Where do you go, man? Where do you go?
I like it.
Me too.
Oh, I'm saving up for a chopperoo. The big wheels retarded second cousin. I had one when I was a kid. Come on down, it's the middle of July. Saving up to go to Wet n' Wild. Oh, and there's a fresh green lemonade. Oh, you can crush your Dixie cups after you shoot it down. You give me a dollar, I'll give you change.
All right.
Ooh, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh. You can't say that.
Can't say D, Hen.
Right. You could say D.
All right, well, there's a little remedy from the Black Crowes tea.
Are you sure it's not lemonade? Sounds so much like it. Okay, well, this one you alluded to earlier, but it was my first concert, and I officially decided I didn't enjoy music.
The twins.
I saw them, and it was my first concert.
You
I didn't understand.
Saw the Thompson twins?
Yeah. My older friends were going. They're a couple years older. First concert, I was drinking peppermint schnapps.
Because you grew up in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have flown in North Hollywood.
Sucked. And then I saw Howard Jones, and that sucked. Oh. And then I didn't go to another concert for 5 years.
Someone tried to pull this crap off when I was in high school. They would have been like, all right, now there's twins. Do we need two pickup trucks, or can we drag them behind one? Oh, if we use the dually, I think we can drag both those Thompson twins.
They're definitely fraternal, right? Because one's a chick.
I don't even know if they're twins.
There's a chick in here?
Yeah, one of them's a chick, I think.
No.
They just stood there and played their keyboards.
Didn't somebody bang on drums? Like bonk.
Yeah, shaped like stop signs.
Yeah.
Synsonic drums.
And I really had to pretend I liked it because all my friends liked it.
And they must have done this one, right?
Oh, this was their only hit. I think they had one other hit.
Oh, they might have another one.
Oh, it's a horrible song.
And why did you burn it?
83?
Yeah, I'm out dancing.
85?
I'm still playing at this point. These are good memory songs for me.
Yeah.
And Tainted Love, those kind of songs.
How did this song ever become a hit?
It was huge. The concert was, I hate crowds, and the concert was packed. And I was young, and
I'm never going to get tired of this.
Drunk. It's been the middle 80s, yeah. There was such a vacuum of good songs.
It was in the middle ages.
All right, I'm going to throw up. Go ahead, Danny.
You ready? Well, we played a little bit of it, and I think for bad medicine songs, this is a good one, by a good bad one by a band you can't usually go wrong with.
But in this case, they did go wrong.
They did go wrong on this one. This is Dr. Robert.
Not one of my favorite Beatles songs.
Me either, and I don't like the Beatles being so... I don't mind me being on the nose. You know, you say medicine, I pick songs with the word medicine in them.
Right.
I don't like the Beatles saying, hey, we're turning into the drug culture now, so we're going to write the word drugs and doctor into songs. We're not clever anymore. That's what they lost me.
Not one of the Beatles' finer efforts, but to me... You got to go a long way before you get to the Thompson twins. And
oh, I'm not even comparing. Are you kidding?
Wait till I get to my number one. All right, let's keep going. I have someone I normally like, but I didn't like this song from 1982, which reached number 3 on the Billboard charts.
This was my alternate.
Having a heart attack.
I was enthusiastic about this song.
Was there a shortage of instruments in the 80s? Container ships sink out in the Pacific that had instruments in it?
Don't you remember the California Katrina where we all played so we could get our instruments back?
This makes me long for the grittiness and raw feel of the Thompson twins.
I know! Were the session musicians on strike? Like, we're coming from an era, the 60s and the 70s, where we have horns and stand-up basses and pianos and big walls of sound. What happened to a wall of sound?
He shot a lady.
Crumbled.
Yeah. This is a hat rack of sound. There's nothing there. Listen to this.
It's a screen door of sound?
Yes.
Well, I love this whole era, and I hate this.
If somebody, and they must have sold all the instruments in the 70s to buy Coke for the 80s.
Right.
I feel like if Olivia played this to me in 1983, I would have went, this is the fine beginnings of a demo tape.
Right.
Now, let's go mix it and add some bass and some drums and some horns. I mean, this is just a demo, right? This is just a scratch.
This is
to scratch it in so I can have the guys who actually are going to play the instruments on this song when we actually do it. Well, no. This is it? Yeah,
this is the song. I worked all night on it.
This is the finished product?
It took me all night.
All right.
Listen to what it did to my voice. I'm a girl.
All right. T?
Okay, here is a country remake of a song that is somehow worse than the already abominable original.
Wow.
I want a new drug. I want to make a sick.
Am I Huey Lewis on the news?
Nope.
I want
Huey was at Jimmy's party on Saturday singing happy birthday a cappella.
Well, I was downstairs working.
I'm sure Adam stopped by many times.
Many times. Anybody that tracks here, ain't gonna go, Adam's friend.
This is this band called Asleep at the Wheel.
Yeah.
This is the worst written song in the history of songs.
Yes, I Want Any Drugs, a horrible song, although Huey can compete with himself in certain bad song departments, like Happy to Be Stuck with You. But this is just a quirky, square, funky enough twist on it to make me enjoy it on some level. Sorry, baby girl. All right, Danny, what do you got in the bad department?
Okay, I don't know. A lot of people may disagree with me. I just hate this song. I just hate everything about this song, and it fits perfectly here.
White Rabbit?
Yep. Okay, I've taken pills. I've taken your pills. I've taken your sister's pills. And none of them made me larger. And none of them made me small.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that mother gave me sometimes got me really high. So these guys are just wrong all the way through this song. It's just a bad drug reference song.
I don't like it either, but I'll give it credit for capturing a mood in a period that was like frozen in time. You know what I mean? Like
they played it at the Fillmore?
They could play this song 1,000 years from now and people would go, when was that? They wouldn't go, was that the 80s? Was that the 40s? They'd go, that was 1969 and a half. And this came out of San Francisco.
Yes, they would
have. No one would go, when was that? The mid-90s? And what part of Milwaukee did this sound come from? So, not a great song, but I will give them credit for going, this is the exact time and period we were in as a country when this came out. It had to come out of the Bay Area, and it had to come out of 1968, 69, you know, probably 69.
Following that theory, then you have to give Casey and the Sunshine Band certain props for capturing a moment,
right? I love
their
music. Yeah. If it comes on, we'd all dance.
See, they suck. There's so many better disco bands.
I don't care for that, Danny.
No.
A couple of great songs. How dare
are
you?
Are they from the Bay Area or just...
No, I just like
their
music.
Rhythm section, gay or what's up?
The gays do love them.
All right, let's go to my second song before we get to the number one.
Oh, wow. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on,
now, this is Disturbed, one, went to number five. Now, I don't particularly hate this song, although I'm not nuts about it. I'm just tired of energy drinks, this, and Ultimate Fighting. I'm tired of being pounded over the head with this kind of stuff. It's too much. Thank you.
Oh.
I don't want to be intimidated or scared by my music.
No,
I don't mind if I'm watching...
That's why I like that Lemonade song. Feels
lemonade.
Good.
If I'm watching The Exorcist and Tubular Bells comes on or whatever The Exorcist song is, then I'll be scared by that music. But I just don't want a 140-pound guy with a shaved head to scream at me. And I get the feeling the reason they're screaming is because I can't sing. We need to take a break. All our number one songs, right?
Yeah. No, we already did ours.
Oh, wait, my number one song. Yeah. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. We'll do my number one song. Oh, I can't wait. Went to number 14 on the charts. That's all I'll say. And the news. Do you want to give a tease?
Say no more. Rosie's going to tell us why that MSNBC gig fell through.
Just because I don't need you people anymore, I want to tip the cap to Steve, who gave the Weird Al like a surgeon. And so Steely Dan... UFO, Doctor, Please. I'm the only man on the planet who knows that song, but I enjoy it. It was a nice effort. Dave from Torrance. Quick break. Back with my number one song in the news.
Back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I was thinking about this one. Is this Jackson Brown? Yeah. I was thinking about this.
Good or bad?
Good, just effed out.
Yeah.
Good song, just tired of hearing it. All right, let's get to my bad. This is my number one in the bad department. T.S. Bald Brian.
I need you.
This song sucks. And so did Robert Palmer.
Vacation loving you. No pills gonna kill my ill. I got a vacation.
Somebody know I hate when they feel it.
What a crappy song. Had him down 99 to zip. He's got a bad case of loving you. All right. I don't want to say anything. It's disrespectful. The man passed away at an early age. Although it seemed like he had a good time before he went.
Yeah, it does.
I would say this at Robert Palmer's eulogy. I'd say, look, the Lord took the man way too early. But the good news is he wrote a bunch of crappy songs that we heard millions of times. And he made billions of dollars off of writing really mediocre to crappy songs. I don't know if we were just without a compass in the late 70s and early 80s, or we're just coked out of our minds, or his record label was just dropping off the coke we were out of our mind in off at the program director's desk. But
can I just give a giant
crappy
yes
song
to all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there you go. All right, T.
Yep.
Let's hear your news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
TMZ filmed Britney Spears running a red light. She had her kids in the car, and it looked very much like she was texting on her text phone. Her phone was up by her face.
I saw that.
And now K-Fed would like her to stop driving with his kids, and he has subpoenaed that footage from TMZ for an unscheduled hearing on Wednesday. No more driving with the kids. Oddly enough, also in the car was the court-appointed monitor for the kids. She was in the car at
really?
The time. You think she might have said, maybe you should lay off the texting and blowing through the reds.
But it was K-Fed's fault because she was just replying to his text that said, no more driving with the kids.
Right.
No more texting. Text
her. Am I the worst father in the world? I could probably just stop right there, huh? Am I the worst father in the world that if they said for a certain amount of time, you're going to have to be monitored with your children, I'd say, no, I won't see them until that time's up.
I don't know that that time comes up, though. I think maybe they need to monitor you for a month with your kids, and they could do it starting this week, or they could do it starting 1,000 years from this week.
I don't know that I could stand the humiliation.
I would
The only good thing I do from beginning to end, you know, I kid on the radio and stuff, but I'm a really good dad. And if somebody said something and somebody said, here, I got to watch you watch your children, I don't think I could not kill them.
That would be a weird one.
No, I mean my children. That probably doesn't make me a good dad.
Right.
No, but seriously, I don't think I could take that kind of humiliation.
I agree. I don't know. I wouldn't know. You know, it's all this stuff about all these celebrities driving over the paparazzi's foot. Well, they're all around the car and the flash bulbs are going off. And if somebody, I feel like I could easily drive through a red light if there was a throng of people standing behind me with cameras and I was looking at them in my rear view instead of looking forward. Didn't we learn our Princess Di lesson on this one 10 years ago?
Yeah, and to be honest, I have texted while I'm driving.
I always text while I'm driving.
Not with kids in the car.
No, with kids that's driving stupid, so I can use both my hands. Isabella's 13 almost. She's got it.
Yeah.
You let her hold the wheel? While you text?
No, I let her drive the friggin' car. We're only going to the store.
That's right.
Okay, Mr. Child
Smokes.
Services guy, I'm joking.
Rosie O'Donnell, there was talk of her having a deal with MSNBC to do a primetime talk show.
Mm-hmm.
That deal fell through, but fortunately, she still has her blog.
Oh, my God.
I said, here's the gig. I got a year. Here's the money I need. And here's what I will here's what it'll take to do it. And, you know, they were like, yes. And then they were like, no. It's all right. It's okay.
She says she's going to figure out a way to do her show in Blogville.
When's that writer strike going to end? Hear something out of her. Look, I've said it many times. Rosie's a funny person, but not so funny that she can just sit there on a folding chair with a lipstick cam and speak for hours on end about nothing. I mean, nobody is that interesting. If Rosie was a former president and had been dead for several hundred years, then I might be interested. But she just sits there, and I'm not sure why it shows up on all the entertainment shows.
Well, she does occasionally say controversial things.
Right, and she has that from the past, but she's not saying anything on half her blogs. She's just talking, and then she has that makeup chick standing in the background and just nods her head.
And does not apply the makeup to Rosie.
And the funny thing is, she said, I had the show with MSNBC, and they said yes. And then they said no. My guess is they said yes to the money and then no to the writer.
Hmm.
I need 9 pounds of beef chuck in my dressing room.
Chuck.
I need Diddy Moore stew.
That was my porn name back when I used to do the gay porn in the 80s when beef I used chuck. To listen
See,
to Robert
funny.
Palmer.
Mine was Diddy Moore.
That's cute.
Because I could.
I like that.
Mm.
Now, I know that you're a fan of Prince, Adam.
Yeah.
He's in a beef with his fans, his online fans.
Guys, this big should get in beef.
I'm not a fan of Prince because Prince evidently is his own biggest fan. That's the problem I have with Prince. Yes.
Well, this is a diss track aimed at the three sites that banded together after Prince's legal team ordered them to stop using his copyrighted materials. This track is called P-Funk. The F-U are capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reference to PrinceFansUnited.com, a site created by those three sites to fight back against Prince. It has lyrics like, the only reason you say my name is to get your 15 seconds of fame.
Them devil make them do what they say. 9 times out of 10.
It's a chipmunk.
Ask him if he did it.
Yeah.
I'll never be a taco. Never be the one to sell your name.
Remember I told you I had sex with either Chip or Dale?
At
the I'm pretty sure this is the sounds they made.
Yeah.
Well, here's the ironic thing.
What is up with this song?
I don't know. I asked Mike Chaffee, is there something wrong with this recording? No, it's just how the vocals sound on it.
All right.
He couldn't have done that naturally, though.
No.
He might have tinkered with it.
Helium sessions.
Now, the fans actually like it because it's kind of a throwback to the stuff Prince used to do back when he sold Water Records.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dissing them, and they like it.
All right. Well, so be it. So is there a lawsuit? Is it over? What's going on?
It's just a beef.
All right.
Good old-fashioned beef.
Good old rock and roll beef.
Now, if Prince is angry, he should listen to this next story. Because as it happens, anger, as you probably all know, is very bad for your health. According to new research in the International Journal of Psychophysiology, when you get angry, it can have a negative effect on your health for a full week.
Mm.
When you get angry, your blood pressure goes up.
Yeah.
Then for an entire week afterwards, every time you remember why you got angry, your blood pressure goes back up to that same level. After a week, you start calming down. So remembering why you got angry doesn't have the same effect on your health. But during the time you're angry and the following week, having your blood pressure spike up over and over is very bad for your heart and for your entire cardiovascular system.
Well...
You okay?
Yeah.
I've been angry all week.
How's the heart rate?
All week.
You know, everyone tells me to relax, but you guys, tell me what you would do.
Okay.
As we've gone over most of this before, I have a life of having long-winded discussions with people about things that are make perfect sense to not only me, but society at large.
Hell yeah.
Here's what you should do. Here's what you shouldn't do. And then fast forward to the next time I see them where they're doing exactly what we had our conversation about.
Right.
That is a form of something. It's not quite hell, but it's past purgatory.
Fair enough.
When I say to Ozzy, no lunch. Don't bring any. I'm 205 pounds. I'm the heaviest I've been since I played football in high school. I'm trying to lose a few pounds. Do not go bring a huge Mexican feast into this house for lunch. And he says, fine, no problem. And then he leaves. And then when I come back in the kitchen after I wake up from my nap and Ozzy's gone, there's Olga and my wife, and they're eating pie from Marie Callender's. And I say, why is there, who got, oh, Ozzy left the pie for the weekend. And I say, I told him I was on a diet. I love Marie Callender's apple pie, and it's the Dutch apple, the kind with the crumbled
top. Oh, the crumbles, yeah.
And my wife decided to go a la mode on my ass, so she's heated it up in the microwave, and I say, okay, I don't want to be mad at Ozzy, but how many different ways can I explain to him to stop bringing stuff into my house that I don't want to eat because I'm getting fat and Thanksgiving is right around the corner? Just don't do it. And then I say to Olga, the nanny, please do this. Take this pie with you. Oh, I like pie. Good. Take it with you. Take it home with you. On Friday, boom. When you leave this evening, the pie goes with you. Fine. No problemo. then I wake up Saturday morning, head down to the kitchen, and there's the pink Marie Callender's pie box sitting in there. And then I start getting angry, and then I think, well, don't be angry. And then I think, why can't I be angry?
You can't.
I felt like that. All I did was walk around, and my wife always goes, relax, relax. And I go, look, if you had a life where all you did was say to people, don't do this or do that, and then you just came home and that's exactly the opposite of what happened almost every time, your only choice is killing yourself. You can't not get angry.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
You did a perfect thing for me. I've told you my pie story. You know, I've been on a diet my whole life, and somebody kept bringing me. Here's a better example then, since we're using pie. If I try and quit smoking, and all you guys think it's funny to take a puff and go, mm-hmm. and boy, I mean, I'm dying to quit smoking. It hurts my throat. I can't run.
Right.
And everybody all of a sudden thinks and go, oh, this is a good cigarette, Danny. It's just cruel. They shouldn't bring you. I'm totally backing you on this.
I know, but then everyone's like, Ozzy loves you, and he's just being nice.
No, he's not.
And he doesn't understand when that I tell him. And then Olga doesn't take the pie with her. I don't know. But here's the point. All right, I'm done talking. I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to.
Your blood pressure is going up. Just thinking about it.
Yes. I am. Here's the world I live in. No mayo means extra mayo.
Yeah.
That's going to be the name of my book. If I go out, I'm now just going to bring my own bread when I go out to buy a corned beef sandwich, because no mayo means, oh, you said mayo, you're getting extra mayo.
Perhaps you'll find this soothing. I'll leave you with this. Danny Bonaducci, sitting just a few feet from you, is a life coach.
Yeah, I can help you.
CBS Mobile is launching this new show on its phone.
Danny Bonaducci, a life coach. Danny Bonaducci, a life coach.
This was on my list, right?
Songs?
Is this the Thompson Twins?
No. I don't know who this is.
I don't either. But I like the graphics to go with this. At that point, I'm wearing the red velvet suit and drinking and grabbing a girl's ass.
Danny, tell us about this show.
What it is, they have come to the conclusion that I have made so many mistakes and learned from them that I can give this new generation of child stars or young performers lessons in life and how to save them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a way old one, so it wouldn't apply to them, but just one that most people would recognize. Here's a life lesson I learned. You pick up a hot chick on the corner, look for an Adam's apple. I learned that. I learned it the hard way, but I know it now, and I will always pass that along.
Danny, my kids are a little too young for this, but let's say they're about 16, 17 months. Let's just say a year from now, I'm going to need you to come over and say exactly what you just said.
Okay. Good. Here's one more quick one. This is you're Lindsay Lohan. You get busted for something. Don't pull your coat up over your head when you're coming out of court. We still know it's you, and now you look way more guilty. Like you were paying for parking tickets and put your makeup on.
Plus, you're going to walk into a lamppost,
and
TMZ is going to catch it.
That's a good way to go through the buttonholes. I've tried that one. That's how I learned that lesson of don't look through your coat.
These are three to five minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry.
On your phone. You go to what? What is it? I don't really know how to do it. CBS.com, right?
Right.
And then for your phone, I don't know how to do it. Do you?
I was hoping you would.
Not a chance in the world. I'm a life coach, not a tech coach, baby.
That's right. Listen, do as he says, not as he doesn't do.
Wait, I think that's the actual subtitle. Danny Bonaducci, life coach, do as he says, not as he does.
Well, there you go.
You're a genius, you batting cage bastard.
You can get my kids off of Elmo. They're addicted to Elmo. All right, T, sorry.
That's it. Teresa Strasser, that was news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
Let me hear some Elmo ball, Brian. I miss my kids.
Aww.
Elmo. Elmo.
I like when they say daddy.
Elmo.
Can they say that or just Elmo?
If my dad were smart, he would have named me Elmo.
That's cute.
Oh, give me one more daddy. Come on, ball, Brian.
Daddy.
Oh, a little Natalia with her daddy. All right, we'll take, or was it the boy? We'll take a break.
It's credited under the artist who, not sure.
Kirk Morrison.
Daddy.
Inside linebacker for the Oakland Raiders. Lost another tough one to, who'd they lose to?
Chicago.
I think it was 17-3. But it wasn't Kirk's fault. He made all kinds of tackles. We'll talk to Kirk Morrison next.
To the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a little sit-down with Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison, brought to you by PerfectPushup.com. Get ripped fast for under $40.
That's intercepted. Picked off by Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kirk? No, let's see. Did I punch him up? What's happening, Kirk?
Oh, man, this tough Monday to deal with. Tough Monday.
The Raiders lost to Chicago 17-6. The Raiders started off with a couple losses, then had a couple of wins, got Culpepper healthy, looked like they're on their way back, and then the wheels have come off the wagon in the last three or four games or so. Kirk, who are you guys playing coming up this weekend?
This weekend we got Minnesota going on the road to try to get back this swagger we got, man. It's been tough.
Well, it's not Kirk's fault. Kirk led the team in tackles and also had a sack yesterday, so that must have felt good. But where do you like playing other than at home? Is there a place you like to go, the place that has better fans or a better facility, or in their worst places?
No, I think when you go out on the road, it's always a different mindset you have, because it's a mentality of you against the world. You know, you don't have your own fans behind you. You got about 50 to 60 thousand fans screaming at you, want you to do bad. So going on the road, it's always a great experience. I feel like a gladiator out there at times, because everybody wants to see you kill, but you got to go out and kill them.
Well, I used to enjoy, when I played in high school, I liked playing at other people's homecomings, because it was fun to try to spoil their homecoming, although we never did. But it was always a packed house, and it was very festive, and even though they weren't rooting for you, it was still cool. I mean, do you like playing at Lambeau for that reason, for instance?
Well, I haven't played at Lambeau yet, but it's my first time going up there in a couple weeks. We'll be out there.
Oh, you haven't played at Lambeau? I know you haven't played this season, but I thought last year.
No, we're going up there. So, some of those things I can't wait to see, just because I'm a big fan of the game. And, just the history behind Lambeau Field definitely is something I want to, experience and take some pictures. And, like I said, we're players, but also we're fans of the game, too, and I know definitely I am.
Did you watch last night the Colts-San Diego game?
I tried not to watch, because it kind of discourages me a little bit, because definitely that's a divisional opponent when you watch the Chargers.
Right.
And to see the game come down in the last seconds. And one thing about the NFL, as different from college, the biggest thing is that you can play the game 3.5 quarters, the best football of your life. But in the NFL, 9 out of 10 games come down to the last 5 to 10 minutes.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's like that.
I mean, the Colts were outplaying the Pats last week with about half a quarter left in the game, and the Pats came back and won the game. The Colts were about to do that to San Diego last night, and then Adam Vinatieri missed a chip shot field goal. Although, and here's the question I wanted to ask you, Kirk Morrison of the Los Angeles Raiders. I've been complaining that the kickers have too much leg now for the field goal post. They should go higher, because the ball sails over the top of the post and you can't tell whether it was fair or foul, so to speak. If the post went up another 12 feet, it would hit it or go inside or go outside of it. Why not lengthen that goal post? Who would have a problem with that?
Well, that's just the way it is. It's right down in the NFL. You want to keep it the way it's been going? Definitely, that's something that has been around for a long, long time. Remember, the goal post actually used to be in 10 yards. Remember how crazy that was?
Where people, I know,
were running to the goal post, and it's right on the goal line.
But it was great seeing people running into, it was like a street game where a guy hit a signpost or a street light. It was great, and I don't know what took certain people so long to do certain things. Back in the beginning days, there were two goal posts.
Right.
Because evidently in the 30s, we didn't have the technology to hold up a U-shaped object with one post.
Right. We had to use two posts. Yeah, they call it the old H.
The old H. I would have said, why, ironically, are we using the old H when we can use my YY idea and use one post to hold it up? Or if not, how about we move the old H to the back of the old end zone so we don't get our old head taken off when we run into it with a leather helmet?
Yeah, that's what the NFL is, and it takes a couple years, but things do get done. So definitely, that was one thing that they had to get done. And,
well,
you know, these kickers have legs. I mean, I know I have one of the best kickers in the league, and Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh my God!
He attempted a 64-yard field goal last week, and we could have extended those uprights because he hit the top of them.
Hit the top from 64. Yeah. Well, be glad to be playing in this day and age, Kirk, because if you're playing, well, there's pros and cons. On one hand, you would have been at 6'2", 240 pounds, the biggest, fastest guy on the field back right. in the 20s. On the other hand, they probably wouldn't have let you on the field because you're a brother.
Right.
So be glad to be playing in this era with all the great slow motion instant replay right. and watching yourself on HD plasma TVs when you get home when everyone else has had that crappy black and white film.
Yeah, but before you could hit the quarterback and everything was good, but now you hit the quarterback, you get a FedEx in your locker, and they're talking about you owe them $10,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The fines come rolling yeah. in. But thank God you have the kind of job where you can get a $10,000 fine and laugh it off.
No, that still hurts the pockets, though.
What's the biggest fine you've ever gotten?
So far, man, I went, you know, a couple years without getting a fine, and finally this year I got my first fine. Beginning of the season.
Actually, Dad must have been proud.
I got two fines. Yeah, I've been fined twice this
For
year.
For what?
Like, one, because I didn't have my chin strap buckled. This is a new rule in the NFL that your chin strap has to remain buckled, but yet, you know, guys, sometimes it comes loose or...
Right.
In my case, I actually, you know, hit somebody right before the play before and knocked my chin strap loose, so... It's either I come out the game where I feel like I'm doing my team an injustice.
Yeah, you're the leading tackler.
So I say, forget it. I'm just going to suck it up, and I'll play with one buckle or maybe both of them unbuckled. And the one play I played unbuckled, they got me for. So
how much?
It's a nice fine, about $5,000.
$5,000 for being too much man. Fine for being too much man. That's what happened to me.
That's wrong.
Hey, Kirk Morrison, we're out of time. We'll be watching you guys. Hopefully beat Minnesota at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll be in the Twin Cities next week, so going to get a W.
Beat both those cities, would you please, Kirk? Good talking to you. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right. See you guys
later. All right. Kirk Morrison, Los Angeles Raiders, fine inside linebacker. Hear the game Sunday right here on KLSX. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap up. Well, I'm going to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Chris Elliott, Into Hot Air, mounting Mount Everest. Signing tonight, 7:30, Barnes & Noble, Santa Monica. Also, Teresa Strasser, TMZ.
This is a big day for perverts all over this country.
Check your local listings. Kirk Morrison, Oakland versus Minnesota. That's Sunday right here on the Mother Station, KLSX, 1 p.m. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I was raping a mannequin with a fur hat on the second floor of the Cultural Center.